It's showtime.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this third day of February 2021. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That, of course, is where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room. It is prayer meeting Wednesday. That means Sparky has the evening off. And well, if you pop in right now, you'll be greeted by early arrivers Anatole and Roger and Oregon and Squeaky. And I'm moderating right now as we wait for pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan. Mm-hmm. Thank you very kindly, Steve. And so, it was a brisk day, albeit at least not a snowy one. I guess we dodged another bullet here. I don't know, but you know, not just a dusting, a little more than a dusting of snow on the ground. Cold, bitterly cold. But the wind wasn't, you know, when the wind wasn't kicking up, it wasn't so bad. So I'm kind of happy. That being the case, every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. No. So thanks go out for this third day of February to our third day of the month subscribers. Thank you to Janice. Thank you to Stephen. Thank you to John. Thank you to Gene and Ann across the pond. Thank you to Brother Mick. Thank you, Bill. And thank you last night finishing off or helping to finish off a couple of challenges. Thank you to Jessica and Will in Chicago. Thank you so very much. We managed to knock out the Bruce's Memorial Challenge. We did that. And we knocked out Joey and Giraffe's Challenge from Monday as well. And we knocked out Rico's challenge. So that means that coming into this evening, I think we're about less than 2 days behind, so that's good. We got 500 bucks to raise this evening. And thanks very kindly in advance to everybody who helps take that down. Thank you very much indeed. Let's see. Like I said, it was a blustery day in the largely empty and cavernous cathedral of common sense. But the little old blue haired ladies and the little old blue haired men in the Fellowship Hall kitchen did their usual yeoman work, mm-hmm. And consequently there was roast pork on pitas. And baked beans on the side, some coleslaw, and it was right tasty. And one of these days, when we all get freaking vaccinated, we'll get back to having imaginary in-person Fellowship Hall dinners. And wouldn't that be lovely? I hate it when a pandemic messes with my shtick. Don't you? Yes, absolutely. So, let's see where to begin. I had a note from Barbara shortly before the program, just about 29 minutes ago. The fuck, Robin? Somebody needs to get with Manchin and tell him to stop talking that bipartisan shit. If it's $1.9 trillion, so be it, Manchin said on MSNBC's Morning Joe Wednesday. If it's a little smaller than that and we find a targeted need, then that's what we're going to do. But I want it to be bipartisan. So if they think that we're basically going to throw all caution to the wind and just shove it down people's throats, that's not going to happen. Never mind things down people's throats, Barbara adds. I think he needs a foot up his ass. Well, yeah, Barbara, you're not going to get any argument out of me. Oh, no. No. And we... Like I said yesterday, I can't wait until we can figure out a way to stop having to talk about Joe Manchin as if he was the queen of the fucking May. And I really hope, because I'm seeing it all over the place. I see it on West Virginia discussion groups, national discussion groups, Democratic discussion groups. When will Joe Manchin switch to the Republican Party? And, well, I could be wrong. It's always possible for me to be wrong. But I still don't see it happening. Joe's running a hustle, okay? He wants to be petted. He wants to be adored. He wants to be perpetual Queen of the May. And I guess we're going to have... And frankly, it wouldn't hurt West Virginia if Joe Biden would load up a wagon full of supplies from Washington and send it out this way. And by supplies, I mean what is commonly referred to when Republicans aren't doing it as government pork. But, yeah, I mean, the consensus, you know, Anatole in the chat room noting Joe Manchin's a dick. Okay. Yeah. And we're just going to have to kind of. Well, it's like having an untreated dose of the clap. You just kind of have to figure out a way to live with it and not spread it. there's a nice metaphor to get to ruin dinner in the Eastern Standard Time Zone, isn't there? I want it to be bipartisan. He keeps saying, really. I don't think it's by look. Nobody's ever going to accuse Joe Manchin of being a towering intellect, Titanic or otherwise, on this prayer meeting Wednesday. But bipartisan is his new word. It used to be his favorite word. Used to be balance. We've got to have balance. Well, screw that. The American people are hurting. The American people need help. But Joe has declared, and, you know, Joe has veto power over anything we want to do right now. Joe says nobody needs $15 an hour for a minimum wage. Joe is wrong. Joe says it should be more like 11. And curiously enough, I read a statistic earlier today that an actual living wage in Huntington, West Virginia would be more like $23.72 an hour. A living wage. Not an exorbitant wage. Not a swimming pools and movie stars wage. Just a living wage. $23.72 an hour. And Joe wants it to be more than, or less than half that. So I guess one could say that Joe Manchin wants people in the United States, or, well, okay, Huntington. I'm sure the living wage is a hell of a lot more than $23 in a place like New York City or Boston or L.A., San Francisco, Seattle, all of which are known as being brutally expensive places to live. But... Joe Manchin wants people to live less than half a life. I guess Joe's afraid that, living wage was good enough for his forebears when they were doing things like running carpet stores and some of them mining coal. The whole fight for a living, the whole fight for a union in the coal fields was about human dignity and a living wage. And curiously enough, a living wage and human dignity are irrevocably intertwined. So the question needs to be asked, why does Joe Manchin hate human dignity? And look, I wish there was a viable progressive movement in West Virginia so that we could afford things like billboards and radio ads. And we could run that ad. Joe Manchin wants the minimum wage to be less than half a living wage for someone living and working in West Virginia. Why does Joe Manchin want people to have half of a dignified life? I mean, is it wrapped up in some sort of religious bullshit? I don't know. But he's certainly enjoying the spotlight, and he likes nothing more than being caressed by the likes of Joe Scarborough and Mika and anybody else that'll have him on their show. Make no bones about it. But bipartisan. Well, that's fine. You know what? It is not the Democrats' job to make our recovery shittier so Republicans will like it. It is Republicans' job to dig deep, find some human compassion, find some human decency, and come on over to the side of good and light. Because understand all of this business about we want a slimmer package. You know, we want $300 of unemployment instead of four. How it should be a $1,000 check instead of $1,400. Oh, blow me. And so I'm just so over Joe Manchin's fascination with being bi. Brother Deacon Asa says, it has to be bipartisan. Have we commissioned the Department of Jesus, Joe, yet? If not, I'd like to volunteer as the acting head of the redundant Department of Jesus, Joe, department. Well, if you're volunteering, Brother Deacon Asa, you've got the job. No doubt about it. Jesus, Joe. And the problem is, we've got Joe Manchin and Joe Biden, so we're going to... Maybe instead of, because we may have need for a cabinet level secretary of Jesus Joe for Biden somewhere down the road. So far, no. But, maybe that's my word, Manchin. It's just too weak. Well, we'll come up with something. No doubt about it. We will come up with something. Anyway, as to a minimum wage, Lee in New York says, FYI, the New York City minimum wage is currently $15. And probably needs to be closer to 30, but, well, we'd crush the economy, wouldn't we? If people could live decent, meaningful, dignified lives. Joe Manchin, the dillweed. Put Joe Manchin on $11 an hour and see how fast he changes his mind. Now, Megan, Manchin's wasn't meant to work. That's why he's a senator. The anti Joe sentiment is strong. Hey, Manchin, what? You want to be appreciated? Get the folks that they're $2 trillion right quick. Yeah, nobody needs to survive for that matter. Earther notes. Manchin and bipartisan Lee in New York. If Schumer can get Manchin to vote for the bill, it is bipartisan. Why can't he get on board with a $15 minimum wage? Again, because if you start paying people living wages, they might, they might get uppity and stand up on their hind legs, and then somebody else might want to be the Democratic senator from West Virginia. Yeesh. Yeah, I know. But it's that season, and these things drive me a little bit batty. Politico had an article today. Progressive PAC kickstart search for challengers to Manchin cinema. I just love it. I mean, look, I think the last 15 minutes of the program proved that this is not the Joe Manchin Appreciation Society or even the We Like Joe Society. It's more like that we are astonished when Joe Manchin does something right society. It's the blind hog finding an acorn society. But, as Politico reports, a trio of progressives who helped launch Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's 2018 upset campaign are now setting their sights on Senate Democrats. Now? What happened to 2018 when they set their sights on him then? And found the political equivalent of the Washington Generals to run against him in the primary. The co-founders of No Excuses PAC, Saikat Chakrabarty, Corbin Trent, and Zach Exley, are starting a search for candidates to challenge incumbent Democrats they say are standing in the way of ambitious action to end the coronavirus pandemic and revive the economy. Well, I don't know about Arizona. I know next to nothing about Arizona politics. But I know here that there's already somebody who's going, pick me. So that person can get paid and get their ass kicked again, some more, for the third straight time. A long time ago, growing up in Alabama, there was a guy who would run as an independent against whether it was Albert Brewer or George Wallace, and he was an American hero. He had crashed as a member of the as a pilot in the Army Air Corps. His plane had crashed in the Himalayas, flying supplies over the hump from India to Burma, what was then Burma. His name was Charles Woods, and he was horribly disfigured. He was also very, very wealthy at the time. I think I've told this story before. He owned a city block in San Diego. And he had prostheses that he wore every day to cover his war wounds, his disfigurement. But he took them off to run ads in Alabama. And there were horrible things said, just horrible things. But he never won and never got anywhere near winning. And who was the perpetual Republican presidential candidate? Al Smith, was that it? Was that his name? Who ran a lot and got waxed every time? Progressive people don't need professional losers. We don't need to be the Washington Generals. We need to find a way to find candidates who can run and win. Politico, in their story, say Manchin and Sinema's opposition to eliminating the legislative filibuster, which requires a 60-vote threshold for most legislation, is the main reason No Excuses is putting a call out for possible challengers. Progressives have increasingly pressed Senate Democrats and President Joe Biden to end the filibuster, arguing that in an evenly divided Senate, it will be nearly impossible to find enough Republicans to pass major pieces of Biden's agenda. Absolutely true. And while Manchin is going along with the budget reconciliation attempt in regard to coronavirus and coronavirus relief, economic relief, kickstarting the economy. Well, he said that, he opposes ending the filibuster. So that means the Build Back Better plan, which has not been which has not yet been introduced. Well, that thing's practically going to be dead on arrival because it's going to have a lot of clean energy stuff in it. And theoretically, it will be bounced over to, you know, when it's introduced, it'll find its way to Senate Energy and Natural Resources, where Joe is chair. Right. He's already chair, so he doesn't need to become a Republican in order to be the chair. And he might not even be the chair if he did switch. Who knows? But the Build Back Better program, or the components of it that have to do with energy, will be DOA in Senate Energy and Natural Resources. And again, I encourage people to ask themselves how Joe Manchin got to be chair of Energy and Natural Resources. I've talked about it in the past. If you don't know, shoot me a note and I'll tell you again. But it's deeply infuriating. Didn't have to be that way. But anyway, Manchin and Sinema's opposition to eliminating the main reason, no excuses, is putting a call out for possible challengers. Well, what a genius notion that is. Steve in New York says, you know, we don't need professional Democratic losers. That's what the Greens are for. Precisely. And, okay, we've got our first good line of the evening. I'm so over Joe Manchin's fascination with being bi. Flavio says, I'm dying. That's good. That's really good. Well, thank you, Flavio. And Ralphs asks, why don't you or Dr. Bill run for Joe Manchin's seat? Because there's no point in a strictly symbolic candidacy. Progressive, there are not enough people in West Virginia to beat Joe Manchin in a primary. Let's just be clear about that. There are these little fetish stories that pop up every now and then about, oh, there's a progressive revolution underway in West Virginia. Bullshit. Please. And look, I mean, I'm progressive, I'm liberal. But shit, I'm also a realist. And it's that weird thing that we rational people, most of us people who don't wander around looking for the approval of a great big bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky. This is Prayer Meeting Wednesday, after all. We can't wrap our heads around how somebody could make a choice in the ballot box of progressive values versus grunting about fetuses. We can't understand choosing the fetuses over actually getting something done. And that's on us. That's not on them. They know who they're going to vote for. But we keep putting up professional losers in some of these races. I mean, the Democratic Party ran a decidedly not very liberal, not very progressive candidate for governor who would have been better than Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice, and he got pasted. And that was a moderate-ish kind of person. Yeah, sorry, that's just too much navel-gazing. It is. Lee in New York says, a professional political loser. Are you thinking of William Jennings Bryan? Al Smith was the governor of New York who failed. Okay, well, I know Al Smith failed. In the Senate, there are many Joes. Flip-Floppians, Chapter 5, Verse 6. God damn it, Robin. Will the senior senator from West Virginia please sit down and shut the fuck up? Will somebody please tell Joe his 15 minutes are over? I hereby nominate him for the Grifters Hall of Fame right next to his Lord and Savior, the Dung Pile 45. Guys like Joe are why we can't have nice things in this country. We can afford it. Republicans like him simply say we can't. The defeatist little bastards need to be rooted out. If Joe votes with the Democrats and you have bipartisanship, make no bones about it. your buddy Dave in the blind. I need to order more crucifixion fasteners and more pogo sticks. Jesus Christ. I know. Silent R. Lamar. Jesus, Joe Manchin, why do you want to give your people half a trailer when they need a full trailer? Have a heart, Joe, a whole heart for the tornadoes, Joe. It's easier to hit a full trailer park than a half a trailer park. That's brutal, but realistic. So sorry, I didn't mean to go off on a Joe Manchin tangent. That was not how the program was supposed to begin, but sometimes these things happen. Meanwhile, amendments. Robin, the goddess of irony never sleeps, and she's wide awake today. I want to immediately make some corrections about yesterday's Joey's Journal. That would be that FDR's Congress did not turn over during the 1936 election, primarily because FDR did what Joe Biden needs to do during his presidency, kick ass and take names. FDR gained political power by pointing the finger of blame, rousing righteous indignation, and supporting the prosecuting of wrongdoing. He encouraged investigations that targeted the banksters and speculators who exploited the misery of the nation mired in the Great Depression. He called out the economic royalists who tried to thwart democracy and welcomed their hatred. Uncle Joe Biden very much needs to take up his tone and approach so far. I think he's doing so by sending Kamala Harris to West Virginia and Arizona to rile up those two senators. Stand by a moment, please. Sorry, I take calls from the kids when they call during the program because it might be an emergency, but that one wasn't. That was just, I forgot what time you're on air, Dad. Anyway, Jeffrey would like to amend. In fact, the Congress did not turn Republican until 1948 during the Truman administration, and Harry just gave him hell, and hopefully President Biden will too. Well, thanks for the amendment, Jeffrey. Speaking of amendments, on this day in 1870, the 15th Amendment was ratified, which prohibited each government in the U.S. from denying a citizen the right to vote based on that citizen's race, color, or previous condition of servitude, i.e. slavery. And, of course, Jeffrey's got some more amending to do with his Second Amendment right. As it turns out, the goddess of irony does not sleep, as we were discussing Ulysses S. Grant yesterday, considering Ulysses S. Grant was a huge advocate for the 15th Amendment. Somebody should tell Ron DeSantis, the Florida governor, about the 15th Amendment because of the 1.4 million felons who were granted their voting rights back. Only approximately 31,000 actually won back their franchise and voted because these felons were forced to have all of their fines and fees paid up before they could vote. Keep in mind, Trump only won the state by 373,000 votes, as nearly 1.4 million eligible voters could not vote thanks to the Jim Crowny governor, racist Ron DeSantis. And hereby, Jeffrey's Third Amendment. President Grant was considered an effective civil rights president, concerned about the plight of African Americans. Grant signed into law equal rights for blacks to serve on juries and hold office in D.C., and in 1870 he signed into law the Naturalization Act that gave foreign black people citizenship. During his first term, Reconstruction took precedence. Then there's a fourth and final amendment. Grant appointed more than 50 Jewish people to federal office, including consuls, district attorneys, and deputy postmasters. See, now I told you all along that Grant was a great president. Wait a minute, Jeffrey. Yesterday you basically said he was a bum who just sat around playing golf and attending baseball games. Well, that was yesterday. Today's a new deal. See, I know you can do that because Trump did that for the last 5 years. One day he would say something, and then the next day he would say something completely different, and his stupid followers would just believe him. Yeah, Jeffrey, this is Head On Dot Live. This is the Horn. These are not stupid Fox followers. This is the Horn community, and they're very intelligent people. These are not maggot minions who you can just tell anything and they'll believe it. The Horn community actually critically thinks and reads a book or newspaper on a regular basis. None of the maggots can read, period. I think we'll just have to admit that we mixed up our presidents. I think we mixed up Rutherford Hayes with Ulysses Grant. However, it's okay, Jeffrey, because it's prayer meeting Wednesday, and we can repent, and pardon will be granted. Yes, expiation, forgiveness even. Now get a load of this. Both Virginia and Ohio claim to have sent eight presidents to the White House, by far the most of all the states, Here comes the goddess again. William Henry Harrison was born in Virginia but moved to Ohio and legislated in Ohio during his political career before becoming president. So officially, 8 presidents born in Virginia, 7 born in Ohio, with one of the Ohio presidents becoming a Supreme Court Justice, William Howard Taft, who ironically resigned the highest court on this day in 1930. And speaking up for the Old Dominion, Jeffrey says, yes, and just for good measure, on this day, 1919, a Virginia president, Woodrow Wilson, headed up the first League of Nations meeting, promoting international security and world peace. At that point in time, airplanes were not, wait for it, at that point in time, airplanes were not zooming just yet. President Wilson used, so President Wilson used Skype. Oh, dear God. This giraffe is out of hand. I guess most giraffes are out of hand. We just didn't know. And on Monday, Joey Nights, Kathy and Dan and I were talking about the song American Pie by Don McLean. Well, the sad fate of events that inspired that song took place this day, 1959, as a plane crash near Billable Rick's house in Mason City, Iowa, took the lives of the Big Bopper, Richie Valens, and, of course, Buddy Holly. As a 9-year-old kid, I had no idea what that song was all about, but I sure loved the music. Don McLean's song Vincent about Vincent Van Gogh was quite a masterpiece as well. However, the plane crash of a famous singer that really stunned me came on September 20th, 1973. As an 11-year-old getting ready for school, the news came across the radio that Jim Croce had died in a plane crash. That was a stunner. And then, well, Southerners, Lynyrd Skynyrd. Yeah. Jeffrey would like to put the finishing touches on the journal today. Please tell us if Tom Vilsack will not become the next Secretary of Agriculture, because I really have a... Oh, God, make it stop. I really have a beef with this corporate meathead. Finally, on this day back in 2009, Tom Daschle had to withdraw his nomination as the Health and Human Services Secretary after controversy over unpaid taxes. To this day, Tom Daschle is trying to repay the $130,000 in back taxes by delivering food. Yes, Tom Daschle now works for DoorDash to help pay off his back taxes, I guess you could say. Tom Daschle is now, you really don't want to wait for this one. Go get a snack. Yes, Tom Daschle is now a door dashler. Oh, Jesus. This has been Joey's Journal for a prayer meeting Wednesday, the 3rd day of February, 2021, with Giraffe working on his amendments. Yes, yes, indeed. Thank you both. Thank you both very kindly, door dashler. Oh, my God. Just, oh, my God. Oh, the humanity. Yeah. Oh, a little update on Arizona politics, courtesy of Suman. I can't think of a single progressive person who can win as a senator in Arizona other than Sinema. Maybe my representative Greg Stanton can win if he continues to gain popularity. Just to give you an example, there were 36,000-plus people who voted green in 2018 and in 2020. These idiots will never vote for a Democrat. The only hope is to pull away former McCain voters, and that's just the simple truth. I had a simple conversation with my neighbor last week, Suman says. She voted Republican until 2016. She said she was comfortable and quite happy to vote for Mark Kelly and Sinema specifically because she thinks they're not far left. I'm simply conveying the sentiment in Arizona. The realist in me comes to a simple conclusion. Sinema and Kelly vote with the Democrats at least 70 to 80% of the time. Since 70 is greater than zero, I will go happily and vote for these guys again. Best regards, Suman. Well, there goes Suman practicing practical real-world politics. You know, the great change-making ideas and arguments are at least not in this immediate present going to come from places like Arizona or West Virginia. God Almighty, they're also not going to come from Kentucky, Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, Alabama, Mississippi, Arkansas, Louisiana, Texas, Kansas, Missouri, Ohio, Indiana, Idaho, Nebraska, North or South Dakota, Wyoming, Montana. Jesus, this is beginning to feel like an Animaniacs episode. The great ideas that transform and make us a better nation are going to come from Washington, Oregon, California, New York, Vermont, Connecticut, Massachusetts, hell, New Jersey. Why not? Maybe at some point in time, Pennsylvania. Possibly Maryland. But all those other states, there will be no great ideas out of Texas either while we're at it. Harold Stassen, thank you. Irish Dave, the Minnesota man, a Republican liberal. On the other hand, William Jennings Bryan ran three times mostly as a Dem. Yeah, Harold Stassen. Thank you for that. Yeah, I know. Earther says, stop injecting reality into our West Virginia progressive pipe dreams, Robin. You objective reality bigot shill. Jill Stein can win the governorship of West Virginia in 2072. Damn, Skippy. 2072? Well, maybe that would just be Jill Stein's head. You know, in a jar, like Futurama-ish. But when you put it the way that I just laid it out, it's kind of grim, isn't it? That most of this country is no longer capable of great ideas or big thinking. I'd like to think it's different. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Georgia's a great state. My God, Atlanta's vibrant and wonderful. And maybe that state's turning. We'll find out with the next legislative election. I honestly and earnestly don't know. But, you know, Stacey Abrams got nominated for a Nobel Prize. That's a lovely idea. Of course, so too did, Jared Kushner? No, really, Jared Kushner got nominated. Oh, holy fuck. Now, here's the secret to all the breathless so-and-so got nominated for a Nobel Prize stories. Anybody can be nominated for a Nobel Prize. I could be nominated for a Nobel Prize. And I find that, you know, laughable. But it's also laughably true. There's, you know, it's not like an Academy Award where the honor is in the nomination. No, not at all. So look at that. Joe Manchin jumping out there and getting in the way of a perfectly good prayer meeting. Oh, and I didn't mention this, and maybe you've seen it somewhere else, but we have a new chairman of the Democratic National Committee. And that new Democratic National Committee chair is Jamie Harrison of South Carolina, tapped by President Biden to run the Democratic Party. Goddamn DNC, neoliberal establishment shills. I wonder how long it'll take to call Jamie Harrison a goddamn neoliberal establishment shill. Is the over under more than 7 days? I'll be surprised. But it's I thought it was an encouraging move. Jamie Harrison said, I have no intention of letting victory turn into complacency because we have seen what happens when we don't invest everywhere. I plan to get to work to lift up the Biden-Harris administration, build on our progress, and strengthen our party. The job of doing the work is on the Hill and in the White House. The job of making sure that the message gets out and is promoted and disseminated to voters, and so those voters have an understanding of it, I believe that's the job of the DNC. Getting that message out so people understand this is what you get when you have Democrats in control. Yeah, and make no mistake, we're talking, you know, we're Joe Manchin gets to be queen of the day, queen of the May. But the bottom line is, if Mitch McConnell was running the Senate, we wouldn't even be talking about a $15 minimum wage. It wouldn't be worth talking about because Mitch McConnell would still be running our country on the back of 1.4 million votes in Kentucky. I'm just encouraging a little bit of equanimity when we think about these things. And a note coming in from Darlene in Connecticut. Well, I assume Suman, represented by Kyrsten Sinema, can, with his practical mindset and approach and plan to vote her again, maybe contact her and put pressure on her to do the right thing. I would assume that she represents him, and so he can speak his mind. We busted our asses to get Democrats back in control. We don't have much time to correct things. I, for one, have little patience for people like her or Joe Manchin. Clearly, the latter is acting like a child, wanting attention. It's grossly obvious. Haven't figured out Sinema yet, but I'm not impressed, as I've stated before. Well, here's the thing that kind of bugs me more about Sinema than about Joe Manchin. Joe Manchin has never pretended toward liberalism. Joe Manchin partnered with Republicans when a real progressive was running for governor of West Virginia as the Democratic nominee in 1996. Jesus Christ, 25 years ago. Her name was Charlotte Pritt. She seemed, at the time, just sharp as a tack and would have made, we thought at the time, a good governor. She has since pretty much gone round the bend and endorses things like the Seth Rich murder conspiracy theory. She ran the Mountain Party for a little while, and every now and then she'll engage in some right-wing weirdery. But back in 1996, she was a rock-solid Democratic progressive, and Joe Manchin partnered with the Republicans, on the down low, of course, to create Democrats for Underwood. 1996, thanks to the perfidy of Joe Manchin, stabbing the Democratic Party in the back, as Manchin's will, made sure that we got the oldest governor this state at that point in time had ever had. And he was so drunken out of it, Cecil Underwood was. When he became governor, he had been governor before. At one time, he was the youngest governor in the country, certainly the youngest governor in the history of West Virginia. And then he went to the work for, and when he became governor in 1996 in the election there, he was actually the oldest governor in the country, I think. And at the same time, he came into the governor's office from having been, no shit, a vice president for Island Creek Coal Corporation. It's the damnedest thing. And Joe Manchin helped make that happen. So there's no bones to be made about Joe Manchin having any liberal or progressive or, you know, humanly decent leanings. Joe Manchin is Joe Manchin. Kyrsten Sinema bothers me, though, because it's one of those dichotomies, one of those binaries where one of these things has to be false. She began her political career as a decided liberal progressive, and she, at the time, engaged in something that, or not engaged in, but she came out as non-heterosexual and still won elections and remained quite progressive. Suman and others in Arizona can tell me if I've got this bass backwards. But then when she ran for Senate, she ran as a moderate. So there are two things, and only one of them can be true. She's a progressive pretending to be a moderate, or she was a moderate pretending to be a progressive all along. You tell me which one of those you find to be more acceptable. Which lie is more palatable? So I don't know the answer either, Darlene. But damn, that kind of means that there's something fundamentally dishonest about her. But hey, I'll take a fundamentally dishonest Democrat over an earnest maggot any day of the week. Any day of the week. Where great ideas come from, Brother Deacon Asa. Really, Kincaid? Great nation-building ideas will come from Antonin Scalia's New Jersey, from Boss Hog Chris Crisco's New Jersey. And you have the galls to say nothing good ever came out of Texas? Fuddruckers? Wingstop? Hello? I know. Great barbecue. Great barbecue. But it's not exactly futuristic now, is it? Never forget, Flavio says, Henry Kissinger was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. Oh, yeah. I also can't forget that that evil old fucker's still alive. God, he's liable to outlive us all.
I was just thinking the other day about the glory years with Richard Nixon, when he would look at me and say, "It's the Jews, Henry, the Jews. If it weren't for the Jews in Hollywood, we could have a good nation." And I said, "Yeah, Mr. President, that is the case."
Well, it was a cheap excuse to do my Henry and my Richard Nixon, so, you know, whatever. Randy Radard says, "Gee, it sounds like a job for Howard Dean, but he had to be gotten rid of pretty quickly, both as a candidate and head of the DNC." But it is funny that Jamie Harrison is talking about an all-states strategy, which Howard Dean came up with, kind of. But it also points out the foolishness, and I've still got a promotional copy of it somewhere around here. There was a horrible book written years ago called Whistling Past Dixie. And it was, never mind the usage of that hateful term, but it was all about how Democrats had to continue to cobble together little wins out of every state but southern states. And that was the only way Democrats would ever win the presidency. And then along came 2020, and son of a gun, voters in Georgia saved the nation. Who was the prophetic genius who wrote that? I'm so glad it wasn't me. Oh, yeah, there it is. Thomas F. Schaller.
Two generations ago, Kevin Phillips challenged Republicans to envision a Southern-based national majority in Washington. In Whistling Past Dixie, Tom Schaller issues an equally transformative challenge to Democrats. Build a winning coalition outside the South.
Well, I haven't seen anybody booking Thomas F. Schaller on the talk show circuits these days, the political talk shows. Yeah. the top review of that book.
This book was published just before the 2006 election, and I'm rereading it in January 2013 to see how well Schaller's analysis and prescriptions hold up in hindsight. Short answer, amazingly well!
And let's see.
Nobody's reviewed that piece of dreck since 2016.
And, you know, maybe Georgia was an outlier. I don't know. But I said back then that it was terrible and wrong, and I maintain that to this day.
The youngest governor, even Bill Clinton was younger than Underwood when he became governor. I'm talking about at the time, Lee. So I guess uh, I guess Cecil was the youngest governor of West Virginia, but, and by the way, the oldest governor in the United States right now is, Governor Grandma Meemaw, Kay Ivey of Alabama, accused by her Republican opponents in the last election of being a drunken lesbian who said Reagan's, who said Reagan's 11th commandment wasn't real? Yeah. Sheesh. Let's see. What else? What else? Well, it is prayer meeting Wednesday. We're nearing the 1 hour mark. So I'll mention we've got $500 to go, and we do need to do that. Take out some part of it. Maybe finish yesterday. $200. That'd be great. Georgia turning. Lee in New York says only if Stacey Adams is at the helm. Well, if Stacey Adams is running the. You know, changing a legislature is harder than changing, you know, one office, a governorship or a senator or a presidential campaign. I presume she'll run for governor of Georgia in 2022. And maybe she will have the coattails to change the legislature as well. Oy. Okay. The shenanigans. Sorry, I just got a message. I guess if you get a weird message from me on Facebook or Instagram, ignore it, please. It ain't me. Ugh. Oh, and a reminder. Still trying to cross the halfway mark up at the over at the GoFundMe page. And we're about $1,500 from doing that. Everybody who kicks in $120 or more gets a heavy duty horn coffee mug. And I've got little fine tip Sharpies, and I'm signing the bottom of all the mugs. So remember, just bear that in mind, please. I'm gonna working up the courage to go ahead and schedule the oral surgery and plan being away from the, and that'll probably happen not this week, but maybe next, depending on my oral surgeon's schedule. Ugh. By the way, this is conversation radio, and I don't like doing 3 hour filibobsters because they're not emblematic of the idea of conversation radio. Arnold says, give yourself a cowbell, as you, my father, and myself still can't believe Henry Kissinger is alive at the same time. Talk about an evil bastard. And meanwhile, yes, also, Dick Cheney, still alive, with some decent human being's heart beating in his chest. And, you know, I do love to... put a little I do love to provide a little an opportunity for a giggle here and there. And I ran across this one last night, and it just begs to be shared. Oh, my God. It was... You know, we've spent a good bit of time talking about Mr. Pillow. Oh, my God, no, really? Kim in Minnesota says, here in Minnesota, there's still rumors of Mr. Pillow running against Wall for governor. Oh, the humanity. Good fucking riddance to 2020. Yeah, I know. And, the reminder of Mr. Pillow goes exactly to what I was about to bring up. And in particular, this. It happened over on Newsmuck. Not particularly well known for its commitment to sanity or to objectivity. They're an unabashedly maggot. The entertainment operation. But on a program that I had never heard of before called American Agenda, they invited Mr. Pillow on to talk with an attack bond. And there's a guy in the middle. And what transpired was freaking hilarious. Except to the extent, and well, here, before I go into that, let me answer with Suman's note. As to Kyrsten Sinema, I can only tell you my impression. I used to work for a different healthcare consulting company when Sinema was campaigning for the House. She was actually quite open in the Q&A. She said there's a difference between activism and getting bills through Congress. My impression is that she believes in progressive values, but at the same time, I think she knows how to win. Believe me, I wish we had someone like Warren. The problem is that Arizona is not quite there yet. To Darlene in Connecticut, I and a bunch of other volunteers who phone banked for her and Kelly did write to her about getting the COVID-19 relief bill passed. Don't shoot the messenger, fellow Hornies. And I wasn't, I don't think we were shooting at you. I wasn't. I don't think Darlene was either. But with people like Sinema and people like Joe Manchin, they have to be constantly reminded that their constituents are freaking suffering. And so I call and write to Joe Manchin's office quite frequently, either the Charleston office or the D.C. office. Because, you know, if we don't make noise, then that allows them to go along in their little bubbles, thinking that everybody loves what they're doing. Anyway, back to Newsmuck. The font for American Agenda, with some attack blonde, I don't know who she is, reads, Twitter bans My Pillow Company account after CEO Mike Lindell uses it. Toward what end? Well, and that's the thing. What I was going to say is I'm deeply saddened when anyone who has been committed to sobriety, who has committed their life to sobriety, loses that said sobriety. You can always pick up the pieces and get back on and continue the journey. I'm absolutely convinced that Mike Lindell ain't sober anymore. Because what you're about to hear is meth talk 101. And some stimulant was Mike Lindell's problem in the past. You know, he's gonna sue a British tabloid over an accusation that he had sex with Jane Krakowski. And as was noted on this program, Jane Krakowski is the one who should be suing for any allegation that she would ever have sexy time with Mr. Pillow. But you're going to hear a man who is deep in the I think deep. In the depths of a bender of some sort. Get the hockey puck.
So what happened? What happened with your Twitter account and the company page? Well, first, mine was taken down because we have all the election fraud with these Dominion machines. We have 100% proof.
And now, Dominion's already going to sue the life out of him, and he's doubling down. This means that he's either on a bender or not listening to his lawyer. We have all the problems with these Dominion machines. It's not going to hold up in court.
And then when they took it down about 3 weeks ago, and then I put it back up,
thank you very much. Mike.
This is the guy in the middle yelling, Mike. Because the guy in the middle knows where Mr. Pillow is going and doesn't want to be part of it.
You're talking about machines that we at Newsmax have not been able to verify any of those kinds of allegations. We just want to let people know that there's nothing substantive that we've seen. And let me read you something.
That's straight. By the way, all that language is straight from the legal division over there at Newsmuck, or whatever passes for one. And so what that is him saying, okay, you're saying this shit. We're not endorsing it. We don't want you to spread it. Please, Dominion, don't add us as a party to your lawsuit against Mr. Pillow. Pretty please.
Something there. While there were some clear evidence of some cases of voting.
And Mr. Pillow won't shut up. He continues to dig the hole deeper relative to the lawsuit he's already facing. And whoever's producing won't pot him down.
Fraud and election irregularities. The election results in every state were certified, and Newsmax accepts the results as legal and final. The courts have also supported that view. So we wanted to talk to you about canceling.
Well, in other words, we at Newsmax may have pandered to the maggots for 4 or 5 long years, but now that there's money at stake and things like court judgments and juries and well, we just don't want any part of that. And so we invited you on to talk about cancel culture.
Culture, if you will. We don't want to relitigate the allegations that you're making, Mike, because we understand where you are. So let me ask you this. Do you think that this should be temporary because it appears to be permanent? Could you make an argument that it is temporary?
What?
And the attack blonde over there on the far left side, on the left side of the three-way split screen. Oh, she's just sitting there with a little smirk on her face. And oh God, I could have been doing the weather in Dubuque.
Could you make an argument that this could be a temporary banning rather than permanent?
No, I want it to be a permanent because you know what? They did this because I'm revealing all the evidence on Friday of all the election fraud with these machines. So I'm sorry if you think it's not
real. I mean, do you hear the speech patterns? That's not a sober guy talking. No.
I ask our producers, can we get out of here, please? I don't want to have to keep going over this.
Actually,
we at Newsmax have not been able to verify any of those allegations.
Mike, hold on 1 second. Let's talk a little bit about.
And that little thump that you just heard. The attack blonde wants to keep things going for some reason. meanwhile, dude who read the thing from Newsmax Legal just gets up out of his chair and walks away. I got a house. I got a mortgage. I got car payments. Jesus, I'm trying to save money to send my kids to a good Christian college like Pat Robertson University or Jerry Falwell University, and all that's going to go away. So I'm just going to get up out of my chair and walk away. In proof of the fact that I got nothing to do with this.
Just what is happening overall in terms of censorship of...
Cancel out my company and myself. Okay. In this country, it's cancel culture.
Oh, it's a beautiful thing. I know. And well, she may wind up doing the weather in Dubuque. Because she kept going when the other guy got up and walked off the set. Because walking off the set was actually the right thing to do. And kind of beautiful in its own way. Just a second. One second, please. Dealing with I'm getting inundated with people saying your Instagram's been hacked. Your Instagram's been hacked. You change your password. Well, I probably will, but if you look at it, you'll see that they've added the numeral 1 after my name. It's a phishing expedition. PHISHING. Ugh. But I got a feeling. So let's just make an announcement out of this. If you get a request or a message from me on Instagram, I don't send many messages on Instagram. One, and if you look at the address, it'll say Robin Kincaid with the numeral 1 after it. That ain't me. So just a word to the wise. Matt with a note. I had an intimate relationship with meth, having been clear of that and all other drugs for 34 years. I can say, Mr. Pillow needs to spend 90 days at a mountain retreat next to a soothing waterfall. So there is, a little bit of expertise as to my very much unprofessional diagnosis. Yeah, he's not okay. Stop it, Robin. No medical diagnosis. Do not claim you know it's meth unless you saw him buying. Many drugs have similar effects. Unfortunately for Newsmuck, the control room forgot where the mute button is. Where's the pillow to put over his face to quiet him down? I don't even know if I need to be saying the word dominion. Those people are getting cranky. My old account, my Instagram account is intact. Jeremy in Vermont pointing out, it's a new account. Your old one's okay. So, yeah. So if you get something from Robin Kincaid 1, block and report and move on. Well, there's always something, isn't there? And while we're at it, it's been a while since this being prayer meeting Wednesday and all. It's been a while since we've had an E.W. Jackson sighting. And just in time, I mean, it's almost like this stuff's being coordinated somewhere. All the folks out there in the LGBTQ plus the flag community, are constantly pretty well ridden for fundraising purposes. And or maybe just purposes of having somebody to hate because they keep running out of people to hate. It keeps getting less and less okay to hate people. And now they're, you know, it's not anything new. They've been on the LGBTQ++, game for a while. But the only thing that could be more fun than this clip from E.W. Jackson is if it was who's our other buddy? The L.A. guy. Yeah, but it's not. It's E.W. Jackson. And E.W. Jackson on this prayer meeting Wednesday has a little something to let his followers, if that's what you call them, know about the afterlife. Yes.
No transgenders in heaven. No
shit.
Homosexuals in heaven. Nobody in heaven is going to be confused about what God made them to be. There's nobody.
I'm not. If I was actually buying into the whole God thing, I would. I'm not confused. I've never been confused at all, a little bit even. There's been no confusion whatsoever. I've known since I've known things. But nonetheless, here we are. No transgenders in heaven. Notice we don't even get the word people. No gays in heaven. You don't even get the word people. But heaven's going to be a mighty dull and boring place. Don't you think? Is E.W. Jackson going to heaven? Because gay, straight, trans, non-binary, don't give what? I don't want to go to a heaven that has E.W. Jackson in it. Or Jerry Falwell Jr. He's going too, you know. Tony Norman, yes, Mother Bates, Perkins of the Family Research Council, who bought his first mailing list from the Klan. He's going to heaven. Just ask him, he'll tell you. Don't want to be there with him either. Oral Roberts, we're told, is already there. Billy Graham. Nope, don't want to share an afterlife paradise with them either, because somehow or another, them being in the afterlife means that it damn sure ain't paradise. If it turns out that this mummery and flummery is real, and you get to the great beyond and open your alive dead eyes, and there stands Oral Roberts and George Wallace and Billy Graham and the Jerry Falwell the first. Well, here's a little hint. You're not in heaven. Because to do the evil that those fuckers did and get in, well, it's like Groucho Marx used to say about the country clubs that wouldn't admit Jews out in Hollywood. I wouldn't want to be part of a club that would have me in it. Jeremy in Vermont says, well, you know, we were already doomed. Don't forget, we wear masks, paper, cloth, some mix, and God can't see through them, can't see our faces, and the sky is a government shield to keep us from seeing God. Well, I think Mike Lindell just proved that you can try to chemically remove that government shield, because I'm pretty sure MyPillow Lindell thinks he's, you know, seen, stuck out my hand and touched the face of God. And yeah, Jeremy adds, and by the way, if Adolf is there, I'd much rather stay here. Thanks. Mm-hmm. And remember, the Roman Catholic Church refused to excommunicate Adolf Hitler to this day. Just throwing that out there. Matt in San Francisco points out, at least we'll all be together. We may not be able to get to heaven, but I'm pretty sure wherever we end up, the decor, the music, and the company will be far better than where EW ends up. Yeah, no pineapples where we're going. Silent R says, EW Jackson. Brother Bob, does EW Jackson know there's no sex in heaven, so there'd be no need for sexual choice or gender? Yeah, it's right, Lamar. Just everybody's just floating around with wings and halos and plucking at harps, and everybody's pretty much like a Barbie doll or a G.I. Joe down there where it counts up in the... Whew! Anyway, back to E-Dub.
No transgenders in heaven. No homosexuals in heaven. Nobody in heaven is going to be confused about what God made them to be. There's nobody in heaven is going to be talking about, I'm a man, but I've got a woman on the inside. Please. See, that's how you know that stuff is of the devil. That's how you know. Because that stuff is not going...
On the other hand, E-Dub knows he's a man and he'd like to be inside a woman. Curiously, there are things in the Bible about not doing that. Never mind.
Bring it to heaven. So what people need to do is get saved now. Get delivered.
Oh, baby boy, I got saved when I was 12 years old, and I'm a Southern Baptist, you miserable old prick. And over there in the Southern Baptist church that I was baptized into, E-Dub, there is a saying. Once saved, always saved. You can't lose your baptizing. It don't come off.
Delivered now. You see this guy, this Assistant Secretary of Health and Human...
This guy. You notice that this guy, the Assistant Secretary of Health. This guy that he's talking about is Dr. Rachel Levine, who could probably pitch a no-hit shutout against him if they took head-to-head IQ tests.
Now, you see this guy, this Assistant Secretary of Health and Human Services, I think it is. What's he call himself? Rachel something or other.
Yeah, well, you know, E.W. Jackson calls himself a human being, too. I think Rachel Levine has probably got her gender issues sorted out better than E.W. Jackson has his Christianity or human being status sorted out. Or maybe we should just misgender E.W. Jackson. Can you believe this woman? This stupid bitch, E.W. Jackson. What a virago. What a harridan. What a common scold she is.
I mean, it's sad. It's pathetic. It really is. You look at this guy... And he's a freak.
Well, but then again, we know that there's places in God's kingdom for freaks and even super freaks because, well, God's prophet, Rick James, peace be upon him, told us so. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, at least they're good for comedy, right? Heaven, says Lee in New York. Really, Robin? If there really is a heaven, the people who tell you that they know the admission rules, those are also the people who focus on splitting God's children into categories. They're not likely to pass the admission standards. Yeah. Truth. Fuck E.W. Jackson, says Silent R. Lamar. Well, I mean, you know, to each his own if you want to, Lamar. I wouldn't with yours, but, you know. Fuck E.W. Jackson, says Silent R. Lamar. I'm a man and I feel safer on a girl bike. Just saying. That there is a fucking cowbell. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Randy Radar says E.W. Jackson got dunked underwater for too long. Yeah, they held him under there a little bit too long. Blood and oxygen supply got cut off to the brain for a bit. Not making fun of anybody who that's happened to. That's a very real thing. But, well, when it happens in baptizing, well, that's just God's will. Right? Yeah. Right. Arnold and P.A. putting his priorities in order. No sex in heaven? Why go? Oh, yeah. I mean, just think about the heaven, the population of heaven. I mean, you got Mother Teresa. Oh, she's a party girl. You got St. Catherine of Siena. Whew. Well, I mean, you haven't had a good time till you've been out on the town with St. Catherine of Siena. I mean, Amy Stemple McPherson. Yeah, there. She was always up for a good time. Oh, God. Then, you know, George Wallace, Lester Maddox, George Armstrong Custer, Richard Nixon. Richard Nixon was, by the way, our most recent Quaker president. Sorry, Todd. But you'll have that. But personally, on Prayer Meeting Wednesday, I like to give thanks to the Flying Spaghetti Monster or whomever. For people like E.W. Jackson, because they make my life so much richer, so much more full, so much more fun. Just by being them. So, thanks, E-Dub. Thanks for being you, sister. But, of course, it's not just the transgenders and the homosexuals that's causing all the problems. You know what'll cause a real problem in a country founded on Christian, Judeo-Christian principles, like we're constantly reminded? Jezebels. Oh, yeah. Jezebels. Because you know what we got in the new Biden administration, right? A Jezebel. Because, of course, we do. I can never hear that name without thinking of Frankie Lane, Jezebel.
Jezebel.
I don't think it was the pair of horns that the devil was born without to become Jezebel, but that's just me. Oh, for pity's sakes. Jezebels. Mm-hmm. Let's check in with good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, gun-mentalist, homosexual, Christian, most certainly Republican, gospel-sharp, Steve Swofford of the Rock Wall First Baptist Church down in Texas. Mm-hmm. Apparently, Pastor Steve Swofford fell off that rock wall, and, well, frankly, it explains a lot.
Now we're going to have a newly elected, cognitively dysfunctional president. And what if something happens to him and Jezebel has to take over?
Jezebel. That would be Kamala Harris, the vice president of the United States. Vice President, female, and brown. I mean, my God, that's a trifecta of horrors for an extremely pudgy, pale, old creep like Steve Swofford. Mm-hmm. Jezebel. Jezebel, who is a member of the same denomination that Steve Swofford is, but nobody told Steve Swofford. I guess she's one of those stealth Baptists. Or maybe she's a stealth Hindu hiding behind polyester and Southern Baptist orange sherbet, rainbow, not rainbow sherbet, orange, lime, ginger ale and sherbet wedding punch. You know, some maraschino cherry juice and some ginger ale and maybe some apple juice, and they float a thing of sherbet in the middle of it. And, yeah. Jezebel. While the LGBTQ plus agenda is not nearly as broad or deep as is often thought by the likes of Pastor Swofford. Oh, his agenda, it goes around every morning because the election results were barely in before Christians like Swofford here were hollering Jezebel. Of course, then again, they'd had practice. They'd been hollering Jezebel about Hillary Clinton since roughly 1991. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, there's also another gospel sharp, this one from Louisville, Kentucky, Pastor Bob Rogers. And he was active even after the insurrection, the attack on the Capitol by people just like him. He directed a curse. A curse? Really? I thought that was witchcraft. Well, it all is, isn't it? He took to praying and cursed everybody who didn't believe the big lie that Nitwit Nero won the presidential election. Father, he was a-praying, those that have lied, ha! Those that have stolen this election, ha! Those that have cheated, ha! I place the curse of God upon them. Oh, baby, what you do comes back to you. I curse you with weakness in your body. I curse you with poverty. I curse you with the worst year you've ever had in the name of the Lord. Just because people didn't vote the way he wanted them to. He even gave an interview after he cursed everybody who didn't vote Republican. He told WDRB-TV in an interview via Zoom, this is praying for a nation that Satan is trying to destroy, and Satan is using people, and God gives us great power and authority. And I'm using that power, help, and authority in Jesus' name. And, you know, if he was just hooting and hollering that in his house and nobody could hear him, it'd be one thing. But he, you know, as we can see, these things wouldn't exist if it wasn't working for him. And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah. But I don't, let's understand, I don't always goon on the religion industry. And when it comes to the religion industry, the ExxonMobil of the religion industry is, of course, the Vatican. You know, they've been at it for a solid 1,650 years. And they've pretty much got they've got their shtick down to a science. And God alone knows they're awful enough. Assuming for the moment, for the purposes of argument, that Yeshua was even real. Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and itinerant semi-literate rabbi who wore a dress every day of his life and never got married, which was pretty suspect in first century CE Palestine. The church has done horrible and continues to do horrible things. Not letting priests marry, not letting women be priests. Spending more time worrying about fetuses than they do about the postborn. But I got to give Pope Frank some credit. He gave some remarks in the fairly recent past. And he said that taking the COVID-19 vaccine and for practicing Roman Catholics, this is pretty heady stuff, is a moral obligation. He said that he would take the vaccine he said, it's an ethical choice because you are playing with health, life, but you are also playing with the lives of others. I've signed up. One must do it. Wait. He's over 80 and Pope Frank was still waiting as of mid-January? He said, I don't understand why some say, no, vaccines are dangerous. If it is presented by doctors as a thing that can go well, that has no special dangers, why not take it? There is a suicidal denial that I wouldn't know how to explain. Let's remember that the secular training of Pope Frank is in science. I think chemistry or biology, one. Maybe biochemistry, who knows? And, you know, I like the fact that it's been the Vatican's position, for instance, that young earth creationism, you know, Adam and Eve rode together. And, yeah, you know. Basically this.
And on the third day, God created the Remington bolt-action rifle so that man could fight the dinosaurs and the homosexuals.
Amen.
Yeah, because the church is down with hunting the homosexuals. Still, see what I said, a lot of problems still. But the Holy Mother Church is not brooking any bullshit about Adam and Eve riding to mass on a fucking dinosaur. Mm-mm. But no, you praise them when they deserve praise. And Pope Frank deserves at least a little pat on the back. I'm going to get emails. Jesus Christ, I'm going to get emails. How dare you say anything good about Pope Frank? Well, I can't put too many caveats in front of... when you compare him with, say, a Sean Foyt, he's... Oh, my God. I mean... He's Marcus freaking Aurelius. Take your shot. And not in a throw a punch at me kind of way. Damn. On the other hand, you get Franklin, son of Billy. I don't know that I'm necessarily competent to do that, Randy. Randy Radar says, please explain to the Horn community about the power of three in witchcraft. It has something to do with whatever nastiness you send out at somebody is going to come back to you threefold. I don't know. But then there's Franklin Graham. Compare Franklin Graham to Pope Frank. We've got a tale of two Franks. Well, when 10 Republicans voted aye on the bill of impeachment in the House of Representatives, Franklin was waiting right there, ready with a Facebook post.
Shame, shame on the 10 Republicans who joined with Speaker Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats in impeaching President Trump yesterday. After all that he's done for our country, you would turn your back and betray him so quickly.
He ain't Jesus, Frank. Frank?
We have never had a president like him in my lifetime.
Mine either, but that ain't necessarily a good thing.
He made NATO take notice and pay their own way. He had the guts to take on North Korea and met with their leader personally and lost his shirt. No, I added that part. He didn't let China walk all over this. He let them run. No, I added that part, too. Just his Mideast peace initiatives in the last couple of months deserve a Nobel Peace Prize.
Since when do business deals get the Nobel Peace Prize? Because that was just a fucking arms deal.
He has defended religious liberty like no president before him.
Well, I guess that is arguably true. I mean, he's defended religious liberty for religious bigots.
He has worked.
Oh, and Frank's decided he's going to speak for all people of faith, which I don't think he gets to do.
Defended religious liberty like no president before him, and that matters to all people of faith.
What's this all you're talking about, General Custer?
He has worked to bring prison reform and secured our southern border.
No, not really. Kidnapping children and putting them in concentration camps. I don't think that, you know, within the strictly logical meaning of this, that ain't reform, Frank. No.
He defeated the ISIS caliphate in Syria
single-handedly by himself. Well, he did bring his bone spurs with him.
And he strengthened our military.
Yeah, the military said he had to buy bullets for. Oh, dear.
He was the most pro-life president we've ever had.
Well, if you count putting children in concentration camps as pro-life, well, I mean, who am I to quibble?
But the House Democrats impeached him because they hate him and want to do as much damage as they can.
Well, you know, it wasn't the House Democrats who were doing all the damage in the fucking Capitol, Frank. Just today, they carried out the coffin of a Capitol police officer who was bludgeoned to death by, you know, people that the guy you're saying is so awesome he shits ice cream sent to attack the Capitol. I mean, that Capitol police officer's blood is on your God Emperor's hands, Frank.
And these 10 Republicans from his own party joined in the feeding frenzy.
You know, I don't think anybody wants to eat a chunk of nitwit Nero, Frank. I think your fetishes are showing there, buddy.
It makes you wonder what the 30 pieces of silver were that Speaker Pelosi promised for this betrayal. Oh, there's nothing like a little... No.
I wonder if Frank knows that the whole 30 pieces of silver thing has been used as a reason to periodically slaughter lots of Jews. Do you reckon Frank knows that?
Oh, it's the Jews, Billy, the Jews.
Daddy, what's that man with the funny nose mean?
President Trump isn't a perfect person. No, I'd say the 25 credible allegations of sexual assault and sexual abuse pretty much confirm that.
I don't support or agree with some of the things the president said and did the last couple of weeks.
Well, do you agree with him on the things that he did in the last couple of decades, Frank? You know, 25 credible allegations, rape, that?
January 6th was a low point in his presidency.
Uh-huh, yeah.
We knew he had flaws when he ran for office in 2016.
Well, we never, some of us kind of figured he was capable of fomenting an unconstitutional, anti-constitutional insurrection against the government of the United States. But, well, maybe not you, Frank.
But I and millions of others voted for him because of the platform and policies he promised.
Yes. A hooker in every pot.
I still support those.
I bet you do, Frank.
The Democrats have been trying to get rid of the president since the day he took office.
Well, maybe that's because he only took office by operation of a constitutional anachronism from the bloody and hateful past that we share that was founded upon, well, chattel human bondage.
What they did yesterday only further divides our nation. I hope President-elect Biden will keep his word and work for unity, as he said.
Yeah, we got to get through all that before we get to the unity part.
Woohoo!
That's just beautiful. So to be clear, Franklin Graham thinks that the only way to unify the nation is to pucker up and put that Graham nose right between the, yeah. Oh, well, I don't want to, well, there went dinner in the Central Time, Standard Time Zone. God, what an awful human being. What a horrible, terrible, no good, very bad human being. Oh, and a week or so ago, a couple of weeks back, I think it was last week, I had the story of the Southern Baptist guy who said, you know, I may lose my job for this. Well, the Southern Baptist Convention issued a report on their Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. Reverend Russell Moore heads it up. And the Southern Baptist Church's leadership said that, Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission has become a significant distraction from the work of the Southern Baptist Church. Curiously, ethics and religious liberty, you would think, would be central core tenets of the Southern Baptist Church, but not the way that, not the way that Russell Moore was talking about it. But Reverend Moore said that Nitwit Nero was as bad as some people, might be as bad as some people thought he was. Mm-hmm. Oh, for God's sakes. But at least we've got, we do have stories that give a better view of who the Southern Baptist Church was and still is. A minister of color, a black man, Pastor Dwight McKissick. He runs a gospel shop, a Baptist Southern Baptist gospel shop in Arlington, Texas, Cornerstone Baptist Church. And he announced that he was bolting the Southern Baptists because at least the ones in Texas, maybe the entire Southern Baptist Convention. Because the Southern Baptist Church says that systemic racism isn't much of a problem. And rejected critical race theory. So when he said he was getting out of the Texas Southern Baptist Convention, naturally, an individual answered in what can only be described as entirely predictable fashion. Some dude by the name of John V. Rutledge sent a letter to Reverend McKissick. McKissick cuts ties with Southern Baptist Texas Convention, potentially with SBC. In recent years, the Southern Baptist Convention has been repenting foolishly of the sin, it's in scare quotes, of whiteness, and has rebaptized itself as an exemplar of diversity. Verily, it has brought fruits meet for repentance. A Negro convention president. A Negro candidate for the pastorate of a white church, First Baptist Church, Naples, Florida. $5 million in seminary scholarships for and only for Negroes. Appointive positions reserved for and elections rigged to install Negroes. But it has not been enough. For the Negro, nothing is ever enough. LBJ's Great Society and War on Poverty gave the Negro, Negro is always capitalized, by the way, the keys to the U.S. Treasury, the response to which has been ingratitude and give us mo. That's all one word in quotes, G-I-V-E-U-S-M-O. Give us mo legislation, leapfrog the Negro over whites. Leapfrogged. Yeah. Might take a while sorting that one out. Placing Negroes in residences that they could not otherwise afford. Well, he had to dig deep for that trope. And granting them unmerited entry into classrooms and boardrooms. They ain't got no business here. Yet they remain savages. Now remember, this is a follower of Jesus Christ, okay? They defile and diminish every arena in which they parade. Academic, political, corporate, judicial, military, athletic. Hell, he wants baseball whitened back up, I guess. Seeking another white bastion to badger and beleaguer. Oh, poor, poor little snowflake white guy. So beleaguered. And badgered. There's just no, there ain't no white bastions left where a good white man like John V. Rutledge can feel safe. They invaded the church. Invaded the church. You know, the church that asks for people to come to it and accept the saving grace of Christ Jesus. Invaded. None more deserving of destruction than the Southern Baptist Convention. What do you want to bet John V. Rutledge is a son of the Confederacy or some such? Ordnance wasted on a collapse in fort. Nothing like a war reference, an eliminationist war reference in a letter about an ostensibly Christian organization. That cult has been destroying itself for the past 15 years, proof of which is in declining membership. Well, no, the declining membership may have something to do with people figuring out that it's all pretty much a fraud. If Negroes had come to improve rather than to importune, oh, listen to him using his big white feller words, they would have deployed the alleged to exist collective wisdom of black Baptist pastors. Shh. Don't tell. Well, I know exactly. But when he says, when he puts collective wisdom of black Baptist pastors in scare quotes, he's talking about people like Dr. King, in past, and he's also talking about people like Reverend Raphael Warnock in the present. To pick apart the Baptist faith and message, to challenge denominational denial of settled science, to extract the convention from its unsophisticated doctrines and dogmas of yesteryear, all desperately needed. But those are beyond the Negroes, that's S apostrophe, intellectual capacitize, like 2-year-olds. Well, the reference to full-grown African-American individuals as being like children, that's a new one. No, it's not. They know only how to whine and throw tantrums. The Southern Baptist Convention should bid them goodbye and good riddance. And here's the funny part. Cordially, John V. Rutledge. Cordially. Your obedient servant is how the Confederates used to sign him. Cordially. And it was, you know, that letter was sent directly to Reverend McKissick. You can't make this stuff up. This is where the reminder comes in that the Southern Baptist Convention was created solely and exclusively as a bastion for white supremacy in alleged Christianity. Mm-hmm. Ah, thank you. Randy Radar said, I got it right on that rule of threes. Megan says, resident witch here. Yeah, got to be mindful of what you send out. It comes back to you 3 by 3 by 3. It's not just witchcraft law, closer to spiritual law, hence Jesus and the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And he was bogarting off of Hillel, the great rabbi. Never mind. Well, there's a lot of evidence in the Gospels that whoever taught Yeshua was taught by somebody who was taught by somebody who was taught by Hillel. Yeah. Poor Snowflake, says Randy Radar. He just can't compete. Athletics. I know. Thanks, Randy. I can sympathize with the pastor, says Arthur. After all, as Marjorie Taylor Greene Cuball said, the most disadvantaged person in America is the white man. Arthur notes, I think one Negro in all caps equals one ginger in small caps. Oh, I think every one of those equals. I'd be surprised if he didn't have to backspace and use the white out, because I'm sure that was on a typewriter. Use the whiteout to correct his fundamental need to type that filthy word. Mm-hmm. And so here I am, 2 hours into a prayer meeting, Phila Robser. And if you'd like to jump in on all of this, you're more than welcome to do so. Bob Kincaid Horn on Skype, and also you can dial into the Skype line with 304-574-8178. Then there's the stress line, and that is 844-843-4676, 844-THE-HORN. That'll get you right into the program. We are still a goose egg. For a prayer meeting Wednesday, we had a $500 fundraising goal, and it's still at $500. I had kind of hoped things might get a little easier with the political season over, because every 2 and 4 years, all the oxygen gets sucked out of the room by political campaigning and the need to support candidates. But yeah, we're still at $500 to go. So if we knock some of that down, it would be lovely. Thank you. I don't recall a prayer meeting Wednesday quite like this in quite some time. And just as we had not heard from
E.W. Jackson
in quite some time, so too it's been a while since we heard from Gordon Chappie Klingenschmidt. You go to the Klingenschmidt cutoff and get out of your car and cut off your Klingenschmidt. Never gets old. He's still trying to reconcile. You know, gospel sharps do a lot of reconciling. They do. They really do. And he's trying to reconcile the fact that his God controls the universe, and yet at the same time, Donald Trump did not get reelected president. Tis a puzzlement. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, it is. So he called up Janet Porter. And if you don't know, Janet Porter is the God-botherer who spends most of her time annoying people in Ohio. With things like fetal heartbeat bills. And they tried to dope it out together just exactly how it is that God could let Donald Trump not be reelected. Problem.
I do believe God wanted Donald Trump to be reelected. I think it was God's will, and yet sometimes in this fallen world, the devil wins, and God's will is not, God's perfect will is not always done on earth. I think it's an abomination now that someone with the demonic spirit of, for example, transgenderism.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Aren't we, don't we just get around? Ism, transgenderism. Isn't it curious that that's the first place he goes? And it's a fallen world, and even though God is the God, great big bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky, most powerful, sees all, knows all, tells nothing, he somehow, in the great game of hearts that the devil and God play, you can read the book of Job to learn about, you know, they have lunch, you know, where you been? Oh, just walking up and down in the earth. Have you noticed my servant Job? Yeah, he's a great guy. You give him everything. Of course he's going to worship you. Well, why don't you give him a case of the trots? Okay, you can give him a case of the trots and kill off all of his sheep and cattle and goats. Yeah, he didn't have any pigs. See what happens then. Well, okay, why don't you do that? That's the kind of God he is. The demonic spirit. God, wouldn't I love to get all dolled up and just walk up to Gordon Klingenschmidt and go, boo! Shh, quit that. Stop it. Stop it, Robin. But, yeah, sometimes the devil wins, even though God is all-powerful. Now, there's something I can't reconcile.
All in world, the devil wins, and God's will is not, God's perfect will is not always done on earth. I think it's an abomination now that someone with the demonic spirit of, for example, transgenderism.
Funny how the demonic spirit is transgenderism, but there was never any demonic spirit of putting children in concentration camps. No. Funny how that wasn't there.
Joe Biden is now promoting boys going into girls' locker rooms in public school. He is
No, he's not. You filthy fucking liar, he is not. Joe Biden is not promoting boys going into girls' locker rooms in public schools. He is promoting the idea that people should be use the facilities that most closely that align with their genders. You stupid fuck. God, won't it be a great day when the photos finally come out of Gordon Klingenschmidt with a man in his mouth? We miss you, Bart Cop. God, we miss Bart Cop. You know, if the devil is the father of lies, then Gordon Klingenschmitt is a devil worshiper. Because he lies with such ease and facility, as do all of these gospel sharps and these religion industrialists, these hustlers and hucksters and grifters. You heard him say it. He's promoting boys going into girls' locker rooms. Nope. I dare say if a boy goes into the girls' locker room, that boy is going to be ejected from the locker room and given a right stern talking to. There aren't boys going into girls' locker rooms. There are girls going into girls' locker rooms. Wicked bastard.
Well, transgenderism, Joe Biden is now promoting boys going into girls' locker rooms in public school. He is promoting abortion on demand with taxpayer funding to kill innocent children. He is going to harm...
And again, 4 fucking years of the Trump administration, not one goddamn word out of Chappie Klingenschmitt's mouth about 5,000 children kidnapped away from their parents, literally pulled away from their mother's breasts. Not one word.
Arm Israel and their unique...
Oh, wait, I missed the Israel part. Dear God, there has to be some Israel fetish here.
...with taxpayer funding to kill innocent children. He is going to harm Israel and their unique calling in the world.
Their unique calling in the world. Could somebody tell me what the unique calling is? To destabilize an entire region? To create the world's largest open-air concentration camp in Gaza? What is that unique calling? To send precision-guided munitions into the bedrooms and directly into the cribs of those aforementioned innocent children? I wish there was a great big bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky with a whole fistful of Aegis. Because I got a feeling that people like me and my siblings the world over would not be the recipient of those lightning bolts. I got a feeling Chappie Klingenschmitt would, and Franklin Graham would, and E.W. Jackson would, and whoever that ignorant puzzle gut in Texas would.
That is the devil's will, who is ruling in the White House right now, when I believe, you know, President Trump was for God on those issues.
How does he get to do this and remain tax-free? I know we got a laundry list as long as God, as long as King Kong's arms. I was going to say Godzilla, but Godzilla's kind of got those little Tyrannosaurus Rex arms. You don't want to, can't even stand to think of the pathetic quality of watching Godzilla trying to put a fitted sheet on a mattress. But no. Breathe. Breathe. But like I said, I know we got a laundry list as long as King Kong's arm. But can we put stripping the tax-exempt status away from political commentators like Chappie Klingenschmitt, who masquerade as religious organizations? Can we get that bump 2 or 3 fucking notches up the list? Oh my God, he's using the IRS to do the devil's will. Fuck. I used to think those things were kind of funny. Not so much anymore. No, not so much anymore. Let's check. Let me check the mail real quick. Subject line, whine and throw fits. Jeremy in Vermont says, what the fuck does this asshole call what his followers of Christ did on January 6, 2021 when they stormed the Capitol, killing five, including the officer with a fucking fire extinguisher? Whine and throw fits. Well, I mean, Jeremy, let's be fair. That's not whining and throwing fits. That's whining and committing murder. But I guess I'm funny that way. And Jude reminds us it all begins at home. It all begins in the crib. The Kids of Jesus Camp, 10 years later, was it child abuse? Yes or no? The Guardian with an article, the documentary film, The Kids of Jesus Camp, 10 years later. Listening to you, Robin, Jude writes, instantly led me back in time to the abuse that was and maybe still occurring at Jesus Camp. We've discussed the camp before. These cults' names may change, yet the problems remain the same. They're heartless. Those children would be around 20 or so now, so I shiver knowing they and others are shrouded in such repressive and unloving cults. Be well, dear sister. Thank you, dear sister. You be well as well. And peace. Thank you, Jude. Thank you. So, I've been babbling along. And Phil Robstering. And folks have been on hold. Let's run over to the stress line, see what we got. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Robin, how's it going? It's Dave in the Blind.
Hey, Dave, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing good.
Boys down at the shop doing okay?
I haven't gotten the... Huh?
Boys down at the shop doing okay?
Well, I had to calm down a little exuberance on your behalf. They wanted to carry you through the shop on an old number 7, and I told them that was for clients only.
Oh,
but
you got to keep them tightened up.
As I alluded to in my message to you earlier, we have a crucifixion fastener shortage. I'm down to tacking people up with silly string. It's bad.
Oh, God, when you're down to the silly string and the silly putty, things have gotten pretty silly.
Well, that's true. But being a real fake business like mine has its problems.
Well, that's always the problem with small operations. It's the volume that gets you. Maybe we can get the fasteners added. Maybe we can get the fasteners added to the Defense Production Act, Dave.
Well, that might work. I mean, after all, we do need to trim down the number of maggots. And if they're going to voluntarily use the pogo sticks, and oh my God, I'm going through pogo sticks like you wouldn't believe.
You know, I think you could collect the pogo sticks and use them again after they've dropped them once they get all fastened, as it were.
True, but the mass quantity alone is wearing the springs out. See, that's the problem.
Oh damn! I didn't think about the springs.
You get those hefty Southern Baptist preachers on there, and good Lord. You know, it's 300 pounds or less. Right.
Yeah, you gotta use a P&H Harnish Fager crane to get the likes of a John Hagee up there.
Oh, good Lord. You know, I think we should televise his personal rejoining of things. Since he is a telesharp and that sort of thing. But I called to let you know that Christine has been going through a bankruptcy, and she just recently got approval from the bankruptcy court to purchase a double wide And she got it. It's a real nice one. And tomorrow is her 62nd birthday. And so I don't know the details, but we are working on a challenge for tomorrow.
Okie doke.
Now, I won't be listening to the program, but if by the end of the program tomorrow you raise $62, I will match that $62.
The Happy Birthday Christine Challenge.
Absolutely, the Happy Birthday Christine Challenge.
Awesome. Thank you very kindly, Dave.
Well, that actually, it'll double the $62, which is fine, considering I'm taking Christine and her twin brother out for dinner tomorrow night.
Oh, yummy. Where are you going?
So I don't know. I don't know wherever they want to go.
As long as it's not, you know, as long as it's not Chick-fil-A, right?
Oh, well, hell no. Christy and I have a religious aversion to Chick-fil-A, being good, godless atheists. My brother-in-law is in a wheelchair, so that's going to make things a little touchy on where we can go.
Oh, well, especially in Talladega, Indiana in February. A little snow on the ground, maybe?
Well, there's a little bit of snow. It's not too bad. I'd say we've got less than a half an inch on the ground. This is nothing. Remember, I used to live in Alaska.
True, true. And, I mean, it's kind of weird here. Everybody else got buried, but there's hardly enough snow on the ground to crunch under your boots here.
Well, you know, we used to measure the number of snows by if a cat's paw print could be seen. That's when you started counting the number of snowfalls based on the day it fell. So, and it's kind of a weird way to look at it. But, yeah, we're actually getting snow for once. Maybe it's because all the Republican shut-ins have been inside, and they haven't been out there spouting and spewing and raising the temperature and the atmosphere around them.
Yeah, that barking and hooting and grunting.
It's exhausting. I mean, it really is exhausting. I had to turn off the TV a couple of days right before the inauguration because I was like, this is just madness. And my little brother, the maggot, is looking for a church and a woman. Christine, he's gotten on her bad side.
Not a good place to be.
Because Christine is a veteran.
Yes.
And my brother is a retired Army officer, and he is doing, like I said before, he's doing all this sovereign citizens bullshit. And I she's taken him to task. He said, you swore an oath to protect and defend the Constitution. Nobody has released you from that oath. And she pointed out that Nitwit Nero, his god emperor, has made fun of veterans and active duty service members. And she just wondered how in the world he could possibly support this, you know. And she just torn scripts out of him. When he said he was looking for a church, she said, he told him, isn't Donald Trump enough for you? You know. Oh, I mean, after 30 years or over 30 years of being with this woman, I know what it's like to be on her bad side, and I almost feel sorry for him. But you know, maggots have got to learn. Sometimes you just got to hit them over the head a few times. But, yeah, I think things are going to go pretty well tomorrow. But like I say, if you raise $62 between now and the end of the program tomorrow, I'll match it.
Well, we are only $9 away from doing that. David,
okay.
Yeah, David and Ralphs and Barbara have all just jumped in since you got you got on the line, and we are $9 away from meeting the Happy Birthday Christine challenge. Thank you, Dave. I appreciate that so kindly.
That will be fantastic. I know we can pull this $9 off before the end of the hour, but you've got until the end of the program tomorrow. And I will let you know as soon as I've got it mailed off, Robin.
Well, thank you very kindly, Dave. I appreciate it, and I hope you pick out somewhere fun and enjoyable and tasty.
Well, I'm thinking maybe a nice burger joint, like a Red Robin or something.
Yeah, Red Robin's not bad. You know, to be fair, a little food porn. Now the minute that I say this, I'm going to get some. You know, it's the whole milkshake duck phenomenon from years back. But the minute I say this, I'll get emails saying, "My God, do you know what a bunch of Republican Trump loving scum they are?" I love the burgers and hot dogs at Five Guys, and their fries are not to be. They're the best franchise fries on earth.
Yeah, and the free peanuts. They've got a Five Guys in downtown Tallahassee, Indianapolis.
Yeah, but I don't think you did that. I think the free peanuts were suspended due to coronavirus. But the thing is, I love all their stuff, but you can spend as much on burger and fries and a drink at Five Guys as you do at a sit-down dinner at Outback, which I'm not exactly holding up as
a double bacon cheeseburger and a Coke with a small fry, it was like $15.
Yeah. I mean, there is something fundamentally obscene. You know, all these preachers talking about I'm obscene, you're obscene, we're all obscene. But yeah, you know, there's something fundamentally obscene about a fucking hot dog and fries and a Coke running $14. And I can't do it. I can't bring myself to do it. But, you know, tomorrow's special, so find somewhere nice. Hey, is there a Johnny Rockets in Tallahassee, Indianapolis?
There used to be.
Maybe they're gone now.
Christine took me to Culver's once, and
there you go. Culver's.
So I'm thinking maybe going to Culver's.
That would, yeah.
Have her drive us over there to Culver's and just, you know, I'll get a burger and probably a banana split and whatever they want. Yeah, I'm going to spend a little bit of money, but it's their birthday.
Damn straight. You are a kind and delightful human being, Dave. And I think it's just lovely what you're doing tomorrow for Christine's birthday. Let me suggest, though, I mean, I wasn't even thinking of Culver's. If you'd said there was Culver's, I'd go, well, hell, go to Culver's. But if you go to Culver's and you don't get the cheese curds, you got to get the cheese curds at Culver's, Dave.
So stand back on the fries and go ahead and get the cheese curds?
It's Christine's birthday. Get both.
Yeah, why not? Why not? You got a point there.
You know, just dump them.
Calories don't count.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, and you know, get a large of both and share, and everybody have a real good time. God, a butter burger.
That sounds like a great idea, Robin.
Oh, if only we had a Culver. You know, we're missing. I think there's a Popeyes in Huntington and a Popeyes in Morgantown, and that's it. So we lack Popeyes and Culver's.
I've got both here in Tallahassee, Indianapolis.
I got
Popeyes all over the place.
Yeah, I think I'd go Culver's. I'd go Culver's. Although that Popeyes chicken sandwich is still.
Yeah, I'm thinking Culver's because I know you went crazy. You told me to try their burgers, and I almost did the last time. But I wasn't that hungry, so I just got the banana split. And my God, that thing was so large, I barely finished it.
Oh, that's a meal.
they're not skipping out on those portions.
No, they're not. And
I'd probably spend as much there, if not less, than at Five Guys.
Oh, yeah.
So,
no doubt about it.
And I'd get nearly as much. So, yeah, I think I'll tell Christine we ought to just swing by Culver's tomorrow for dinner.
Well, I'll be thinking of y'all, and I hope Christine has a delightful birthday.
Well, I'll probably shoot you an email.
Okay, good deal.
And she was talking, if we get done early enough, she was talking about maybe calling into the program.
I'd love to hear from Christine.
I don't know, but I'll go ahead and send out the money, because I know either by the end of the program tonight or definitely by the end of the overnight crew or whoever, we're going to hit that $62.
I think that'll
help keep the wolf away from the door a little.
Yeah, keeping the lupine pest off the porch in this kind of weather is always good.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the wolf has built a doghouse at your place.
Wait a minute. You may be right, Dave. You may be right. Well, listen, my friend, you have yourself a wonderful evening, okay?
I will, Robin. Take care of yourself.
All right. And our best to Christine, please.
I will.
All right. Bye now. Dave calling from Taliban, Indianapolis. You know, he works hard maintaining the Dave's crucifixion emporium. The people that line up for that shit, it's amazing. I got a note from Ralphs saying, I'm not sure they have cheese curds outside Wisconsin at Culver's. Oh, yeah, they do. I've had Culver's Wisconsin cheese curds in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Because when I go back and forth from here to Alabama, I work it out so that I will sit and I will actually work up a good hungry to make sure that I'm hungry when I get to Bowling Green, because that's the nearest I can get to a Culver's. Yeah, you're right. John out in North Dakota says, don't forget about the concrete mixer. I ordered one here in Fargo once when it was 10 below. It was yummy. I don't know of a time when it wouldn't be. I had some of their homemade peach frozen custard in Madison once that couldn't have tasted any better if I'd been eating it on Peachtree Street in Atlanta. It was fabulous. Ralph sent a picture. Here's a snow pile near my apartment. Yow! Y'all got hit. That's brutal. So far, we've dodged it. And yes, that's solid wood. That ain't no damn veneer. I take my superstition seriously. Crappy Chappy, Chris, out in Portland, says, is Klingenschmidt German for dingleberry? Fuck it, these ministers of men in the mouth. Y'all piss me off royal. Amen, Christopher, amen. On prayer meeting Wednesday, of course. The amen is used ironically. Right? Meanwhile, like I said last week, the Baptist ministers are saying, amen. Let's run over and see what's going on with Scott in San Diego. Hey, Scott.
Hey, baby, what's happening?
Oh, you know, just sitting here pondering the mysteries of the saving grace of Christ Jesus, you know, as translated by the likes of Franklin Graham.
Yeah. How long has it been? How long has it been? Sorry, wait a minute. I cracked myself up and it's early in the game.
You got to get to the you can't start laughing until you get to the punchline, at least, or at least try the punchline.
Well, see, I know what I'm going to say a lot of the time. No, how long has it been since we chatted? But while you were talking to Dave, I'm sitting here listening intently, like, you know, like Nipper, my little doggy head cocked, as it were. Ooh. And I'm thinking, You're talking about John Hagee. And I got to thinking, I said, well, first of all, he ought to be required by government law to do his preaching naked, okay? Because, I mean, if he's loved by his congregation, they're not going to mind, you know?
Well, no.
But then how long has it been? I'm thinking, how long has it been in calendar years since John Hagee stood upright, looked straight down, and could see his pee-pee? What decade do you think that last occurred in? I don't mean to put people off dinner, but this is the way my mind goes, you know? You guys brought up Hagee, old Butterball Hagee, and God, what a crazy fuck. Speaking of crazy fucks, hi, Bob. This is Scott in San Diego. How are you?
Hey, Scott. How's it hanging?
I haven't seen it for a while. I look down and, you know, all I see is the big red ruby sticking out of my navel. Back when I took that mail order course in how to be an exotic dancer. Hey, two lessons and I was done. I couldn't do any of that stuff. To say, I got no rhythm, Bob. I was a Catholic, and I got no rhythm. Former Catholic, you see. But, hey, I got a serious question. What is the deal with these Jewish space lasers? I've been Googling around trying to figure out what the hell she's talking about. Because they do affect California, according to MSG. The soon-to-be-departed, hopefully, MSG down there and wherever she's from, Jewish space laser. I'm in California. We have fires here, and I've seen the smoke and the destruction and everything, and I can't find a thing online about Jewish space lasers. Other than they bring a special guy in to cut the tips off of each one before they send them up. But that's another story for another time. God, stop me before I do another dick joke. How you doing? Is everything cool? Everything okay? Am I doing all right?
Yeah, you're doing fine. It's tolerable in here, about 62.
I'm hotter than the hinges of hell. I don't know what the deal is with this weather out here. Or whether it could be my internal thermostat acting up. I had trouble with that. Years ago, taking off my little sweatshirt. Years ago, when I had my surgery, that screwed up some stuff near my pituitary, and a thing called the hypothalamus, which I didn't know I had one of. And in the wake of that, I don't do well in either hot, real hot, or real cold. Especially if it shifts suddenly. And we had some nice seasonable weather for this part of the world. But I don't know whether it's me or the, you know, the sun or what the hell's going on. And it snowed all around you. You were in a protective non-snow globe.
Something like that. Twice now.
Jeez. What is the deal? How do you account for that?
I certainly know what E.W. Jackson would blame it on, but you know, I'm not.
Oh, well, they, you know.
And Chappie Klingenschmitt, yeah.
I just have to give up on all of them. I have no patience.
Yeah, and Silent R. Lamar reminded me that the other dude whose name I couldn't bring immediately to mind was, of course, Jesse Lee Peterson.
Oh God!
So we're due for a Jesse Lee Peterson sighting soon. I don't know if that's good or bad.
You started with the word Jesse. I thought you were going to say that one down in Louisiana. Jesse Duplantis. You ever seen him before? He's a piece of work.
Oh yeah. Oh, and by the way, you mentioned the space lasers. A mite further north from you, but still in California. Matt's been working on it. I think Matt says if we work at it, we can make the Q folks believe that rainbows are actually generated by gay space lasers. It's our way of beaming our agenda to Earth.
That'd
wreak havoc with the Book of Genesis, wouldn't it?
Oh, it sure would, you know, because of that arc thing. That lovely rainbow symbolizing.
And remember, there was some remember there was some nastiness taking place on that little love boat.
Oh, I'm sure.
I mean, wasn't there something in there about Ham seeing his father and or his mother in their nakedness?
Well, now Ham. Now, how is a Jewish guy in the Old Testament named Ham?
No. Well, see, that's pre the rules. They were eating pulled pork barbecue for all they were worth back then.
Ham, come here, Ham. Where's your brother Shem? And how soon before Shadrach, Meshach?
No. That's Babylon. That's Babylon in the furnace. Yeah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, I think.
That was that noise you heard was my air Jew's harp.
Or maybe it was Shem, Ham, and Curly.
Yeah. Hey, Mo. God damn. I'm wired for sound today, Bob.
Extra cup of Joe before you got started. Were you? I mean, I realize it's 4:30 there, and it's kind of like your morning.
Yeah, kind of. Now, for about a week or 10 days, I limited myself to one pot of coffee, and it's like a 4-cup pot, okay. But the size of the cups that I use, it's more like 2 1/3 cups. Okay, and for about a week to 10 days, I had my one pot of coffee and was grateful for it. But today I got up at a different time than I normally do, and I said, well, what the hell? You're young. This is America. There's a new day dawning. We have a House and a Senate run by Democrats and Mr. Biden in the White House. Capably assisted by Ms. Harris, why not just brew you up another little pot of coffee, which I did, which probably explains why I got my COVID shot with a phonograph needle. I haven't shut up since you said hello.
But you're doing fine.
I don't know.
No, I said, but you're doing fine. I wanted to share something going back to E.W. Jackson for a minute. Because Haley,
E.W. Jackson.
Yeah, I always do that with the Rush Limbaugh. Every time Flush Limbaugh, man with the slowest stage 4 lung cancer on earth. It used to be that every time he would mention Jesse Jackson, he would say Jackson. So that's where E.W. Jackson comes from. Because, well, you know, Flush Limbaugh is a piece of shit. Maybe that's why the cancer isn't. Maybe cancer isn't that deadly to fucking feces. Regarding E-Dub, Haley said it would be easy and simple to tell that clown to fuck right off. The sad part about E.W. Jackson is that he's kissing the ring of the racist structure that allows him to spew his heresy while giving him false cover that his hyper-masculine banter will shield him from many of his allies that will never allow their offspring to date Jacksons. Got it? Yeah.
I think so. I always get these pastors confused. Now, E.W. Jackson... Is he just a radio preacher, or is he like?
At one point in time, E-Dub was a candidate for governor of Virginia. He was the Republican nominee for governor of Virginia.
Lieutenant governor. Yeah, okay,
the Republican Party of the Old Dominion actually nominated this Looney Tune as their standard bearer in a race for lieutenant governor of Virginia.
I think I do remember that. Who was running for governor then? That wasn't God, I can't think of his name.
That might have been when Tim Kaine whipped. That might have been when Tim Kaine was won the governor's office.
Who was the Republican? Vermicelli?
Has that colorful name.
But here's the funny thing about that clip from E.W. Jackson, Scott.
E.W. Jackson.
Yes. That clip came from something that he considers to be online Bible study. I wish I was kidding.
Wait a minute. Now, I've got a number of Bibles around here. I've got my original bound in real red leather Scofield Bible.
Reference Bible.
Not the new reference. Not the new Scofield, but the old
Splitters.
Standard that old Mr. And I've got my Living Bible.
Somewhere I've got my Living Bible signed by Eb from Green Acres himself.
Oh, baby, hang on to that. That's gonna bring you at least a half of the cover price one of these days. But and what else do I got? I've got I used to have a parallel Bible that had like two columns on one page, two columns on the next page, and they were different translations.
Side by side, yeah.
I wish I had like half the money that I spent on religious books.
Did you ever get around to buying the Jerusalem Bible?
I may have had the Jerusalem because it had an interesting cross on the front of it.
Well, and not just that. It was a modern translation with the translations done by real experts. What always kind of blew my mind about the Jerusalem Bible was that the translation of Job was by one an Oxford don, a philologist by the name of Tolkien.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Any relation to?
The minute my grandmother got that, I eagerly opened it and because I'd heard about it. I opened it to Job and started reading because I was looking for the hobbits.
Yeah.
Curiously, he had not added any hobbits or dragons or orcs or. Well, I don't know. I mean, I think you could make an argument that the Jehovah Yahweh God in Job behaves at least like Saruman, if not Sauron outright.
Well, they do. Even the Jerusalem Bible had editors, an editorial board with more fucking doctors than you need to do a heart transplant. Every damn church, the visiting preacher was a doctor, and it was always initial. Doctor, and then three initials before the surname. Why? They took up two collections for that dude, you know? But the hobbits, the editors, the divinity doctors dropped those hobbits, bad hobbits. But anyway, I just
nasty little
Jerusalem Bible,
nasty little hobbitses.
Yes, we're up to our kneecaps in hobbits. Wasn't the Jerusalem Bible? Didn't it have sort of an ornate cross pictured on the front?
I think it depended on which version you got. I think my grandmother bought the trade paperback.
Yeah, that's what I had. Thick, damn. Book, as I recall. I mean, as Bibles go, most of them are thick. Not as thick as the people reading them, but, you know. But yes, it looked like, you know, one of those puzzles that kids have that are made of wood or metal when you're on a long car trip going to the lake or whatever to keep the kids quiet. You give these puzzles. And that, if I'm thinking of the correct thing, that Jerusalem cross or whatever, that was a mind bender. I think back to that and wonder if that wasn't what got me on acid back in the day. I just couldn't get my mind around it. I've got to expand my mind, Bob, to do this puzzle and read this book. Anyway, that's not why I called. Why did I call? It's been a while.
Well, I don't know for certain, but I just got a little bit of a hell of a little story from. From my buddy John in Central PA. Get this, you remember young Kyle Rittenhouse, the homicidal maniac whose mama drove him to a protest where he murdered two people in cold blood and maimed another? That Kyle Rittenhouse?
Oh, yes. Yeah. How can I forget?
When last we heard of young Kyle Rittenhouse, he'd been let out on bond because of a massive fundraising effort by, you know, like the Three Percenters and the Oath Keepers and the Proud Boys and the Boogaloo Incel Tactical Command Headquarters folks. And when they got him out, his mama took him to a bar there in Wisconsin where he drank beer with the Proud Boys in celebration of his freedom. And now it turns out that Kyle Rittenhouse, accused of killing two people during the Kenosha, Wisconsin protests, was released on bond. And somehow or another, now nobody can find him.
Imagine my surprise.
He's scampered. He's scampered off.
Yes. Now, when they're released that way, don't they have to wear an accessory?
No, not necessarily. No, no, no. Just, you know, I mean, all he did was murder a couple of American citizens and maim another one. I mean, why would you want to put an ankle monitor on somebody like that?
Well, not only that, but the idea of someone being out on bail after allegedly, well, there was video, so I don't know how allegedly it was. But let's say in the average generic case, if somebody did what they are saying he did, and it's on video, I mean, you can drop allegedly right out of it. But how do you get how much bail do you need to get out when you've got that charge and a possible trial?
Well, first, why? You know, I guess he was admitted to bail because of his tender years. But the other part of it is that, I mean, it was a hefty bail. They raised a shit ton of money and paid his bail. And you know, so I guess the bail gets forfeited and now the bail bondsman gets to go hunting.
Is there like, you know how when the TV stations used to sign off for the night and then come back on, before the programming started, there was like a color bar and a test pattern and a bunch of other shit that the technicians... that the technicians would fire up before the programming would start because they had to make sure all of their stuff was working properly. Is there a secret right-wing color chart that's mostly shades of white, or virtually, totally shades of white? How white do you have to be, you know, shooting folks?
And get out on bond? You know, yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
You want to let him out on bond because, after all, he's going to mount a self-defense... Or a self-defense.
Well, wait a minute. No.
Because he felt threatened by those people who didn't have guns.
Well, and how far was he driven by his mother? Because he wasn't there. He had to commute.
Yeah, from Illinois.
To perform self-defense.
Jeremy in Vermont reminds us that Mr. Pillow paid like $1.5 million of the $2 million bail.
Oh, well, that explains it. He's been selling out. Is he back on the crack or what?
Well, you know, that little clip kind of made me wonder. And Matt in San Francisco said, speaking from experience, Mike Lindell needs about 90 days sitting next to a soothing waterfall.
At least they could put a light bulb in his, not a three-way or a 150 water, but they could put a good 60 watt light bulb in that man's mouth and it would run just on whatever's running through him. I think that's my opinion. Two things while I was speaking to Lindell. For those of you who want to make your own MyPillow, you can Google it and get the actual patent paperwork.
I thought you were going to say recipe.
Recipe, yeah. You know, because all it is a fucking pillow with different sized chunks of foam, and there's a percentage, like the little chunks of foam, there are probably fewer of those than there are the medium chunks. And there's probably fewer of those than there are the larger chunks. I haven't looked at it for a while.
Yeah, and then there are people like me who hate foam pillows, so.
Well,
But you can't get them. You can't get the same effect with feathers. I don't know how many birds you pluck. You're not going to get the same effect. You can have all the feathers that you care to weigh, and you're just not going to get it. But earlier you were talking about burgers. Did you ever, in your trips to Washington, and Lord knows...
Never. I wanted to and never got to. And it was on the list for next time we go back, and next time we go back kind of got put on hold.
Yeah. Well, the place I'm talking about, it may not even be there.
No, it's still there.
All this. Ollie's Trolley.
Yeah, there's still an Ollie's.
Well, when you started talking about burgers, my mind immediately went to Ollie's Trolley. And, you know, the other ones that I used to like, the franchised Roy Rogers restaurant, it was known for its roast beef sandwiches, but I preferred their burgers. They had some damn fine burgers. And you never saw a trigger around that place.
Yeah.
Dale either. Yeah. But anyway, so what is the deal? Are we going to be all right? Here we're not quite a month. Well, how long has it been since Inauguration Day? It's been about 3 weeks, 2.5 weeks.
Yeah, it has been 2 weeks exactly, 14 days, two Wednesdays
ago. Are we going to be all right?
Let me get the old magic eight ball over here. Yep, same as ever. Answer hazy. Ask again later.
Would you have any sense? No, I know you have plenty of sense. You do radio.
I don't know about that.
It's like I've lost track of time since, you know, President Biden took his hand off the Bible. And talk about big Bibles. Did you see the size of that fucking thing?
Oh, yeah, that was the Biden family Bible that had the recording of every Biden since the Ark. They had to add to it.
That thing was like a foot and a half thick.
Yeah. Those old family Bibles are like that. My multi-great-grandfather Kincaid was a publisher in Edinburgh who made his daily bread publishing Bibles, and it allowed him to... have a side hustle where he published the early works of the what's known as the Scottish Enlightenment.
hold on, go ahead and talk. I'm gonna cough.
I must be muting. But those Bibles are huge. You can ask Dr. Google. Let's see if I get a picture. Alexander Kincaid Bible. Um, 1787, rare Alexander Kincaid Scottish Holy Bible, Scotland. It's only $600, and yeah, it's huge.
I'm sitting here, and in my mind's eye, I recall a Bible that one of our relatives had that was like that Biden Bible, I mean, in terms of thickness. And you would think something that thick, you would consider that when you opened it up, it would be like large print. This was tiny print and hand set. This was...
This is you know, the stuff that printer's devils worked on. Get this, though. I was just looking at the description. I got a lot of things I could spend $600 on, and a Bible ain't one of them. But I'd love to have one of these, to have something that had the hands of my multi-great-grandfather on it.
Oh, yeah.
But this is kind of wild. I've never heard of such a thing. This particular Bible was published in 1787, bound with the Church of Scotland's 1799 edition of Translations and Paraphrases, a collection of several scripture passages prepared in poetic form. You know, you say prepared in poetic form, and I like to think that there are Bible limericks in there. You know, there once was a lad from Gomorrah.
Give yourself a cowbell. Goddamn.
Well, thank you. Let's go ahead and finish it. There once was a man from Gomorrah who didn't run around with the horrors. Some angels came by and said, my, oh, my. We need a fifth line.
Yeah, well, hold on. I'll ask the
No. No, let's see. There once was a man from Gomorrah who didn't run around with the horrors. Some angels came by. They said, what a guy. Maybe with him we can score a.
There you go. Well, that works out. That works out. Scottish.
That
Bible
could,
limericks.
My God, you know, the internet has everything in it, Scott. You reckon somewhere there's a dirty Bible limericks webpage?
Well, there probably is. There's an anagram generator. I typed into it Marjorie Taylor Greene with an A last night, trying to find a funny anagram that would be accurate in terms of you rearrange the letters in her name and you get some silly saying, because anagrams, a lot of them, you remember when McCain and Palin ran and their signs during the campaign were country first?
Oh yeah.
And I did an anagram on that. It is like it's crony turf.
That's now, nice. I looked up dirty Bible limericks. That could be a growth market, Scott. There's no website called Dirty Bible Limericks.
Really?
It's not every day we find something that doesn't exist on the internet.
You got that right. We shouldn't be talking about it because Bezos is going to have plenty of time.
No, he's retiring. Yeah, he's going to have. Wait a minute. You were ahead of the joke.
Well,
he's going to have some time on his hands. And but that reminds the you know, another favorite game of mine. I've never been a big Scrabble buff, but Dirty Scrabble is a hoot.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, it's Scrabble is. With the added rule that whatever word you use has to be vulgar in some way, shape, form, or fashion.
Well, and even if you make up a word and you're challenged on it, if you're good, I mean, if you're really good, you can bullshit your way and say, well, no, this is a slang term from, you know, this era or this language. And I'm spelling it out.
Or you can use just one word from a dirty phrase, as long as you know what the dirty phrase is. So, you know, let's say you're sitting there and you go, "Fuck, triple word score for rusty for trombone." Oh my God! And you know the old rule, the usual rule of no proper names. Mm-mm, no, that doesn't count, because if you can drop a triple letter score on and use the Z in Sanchez, by God, you have arrived.
Dirty. Wait a minute, there's a Y there. That's a high value letter. God,
why do you take me to these places?
You're driving.
Yeah, but you're the one who said there, turn there.
Well, it just came to me what hell is going to be like. An eternity playing nude Twister with Pastor Hagee. Oh, it's like I just walked over.
On the White House Twister mat that Melanoma wore on January 20th.
Bingo. Now you're out of me. This is not a race. Oh, wait a minute. The squirrel's back. Hold on here. I got a ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. The squirrel, I put nuts out there earlier, and he just didn't come around, and now he's around, and he's done it. He ate up all the nuts. So I threw more down there for him because I love my little squirrels.
Oh, by the way, Steve in New York, when we were talking about the recipe for my pillow, Steve said, you know, or just buy a nice fucking pillow. From somebody who isn't Mike Lindell.
Yeah. Now, isn't the fable around the creation story of the MyPillow? Wasn't he like strung out and he made it? It came to him like so many good ideas come to people who are totally
in the depths of a meth binge. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I got an idea. Oh.
Where do you think the electric light bulb, the telephone, and the phonograph came from, Scott?
Well, that's Edison for you.
Alexander Graham Bell. And
yeah, Mr. Watson, come here. I want you. I've always wanted you. But anyway, that's
I knew you were going there before you went there.
Oh, I know. We're just, this is why I don't call for a while, thinking maybe you'll forget some of my shtick.
No.
I wish I could.
No, it's not your shtick. I mean, it's just the natural progression of zany.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, man, if we don't get out soon and get something closely resembling normal, I stay in a lot anyway. Even before this fucking virus, I wasn't out and about, as it were. Okay? Maybe up to the store.
Why am I thinking of the hermit in Life of Brian now?
I don't know, man, but I'm close. I'm close. I just
hadn't said a word in 30 years and just reached his breaking point. God, who was that? Terry Gilliam in the loincloth and the beard jumping around in the dust yelling, "Hello world, hello birds, hello trees."
Oh God, I got to watch that. Bob. Robin, here's you. I got to watch all the President's Men. Since we last spoke, Hal Holbrook passed on.
Yeah, that was yesterday. I thought of you, man. When I saw the news.
When I saw that, in today's world, longevity is, you know, he was 95. He had a full, wonderful, colorful life. Brought joy and happiness and entertainment to millions of people. So it shouldn't be a surprise. And I always fire up the New York Times and hit the obituary page. And if I'm not in it, I go on with my day. But when I saw that, I said, oh, man. Cicely Tyson died. And I think, Jesus.
Well, I have to be careful with the things that I say here, Scott, because you never know what's going to happen when you whisper something into the ear of the universe.
Oh, the universe stopped listening to me years.
Well,
ago.
The universe is listening. It never stops. And so when the news, when Agnes told me the news about Hal Holbrook, I was just spontaneously moved to say, you know, a paranoid person could think that COVID was just a vast plot to rid the world of octogenarians and nonagenarians. Because it's beginning to feel that way. And that's actually statistically a lot of what it does. See nursing homes, see veterans homes.
Yeah.
But it's not the virus itself. It's the shitty way that we handled it. It didn't have to be this way. And that's the thing. No. You know, you asked, are we going to be okay? Eventually, yeah. I mean, I watched the coronavirus briefing today. And you know what? It was such a relief. There were no maggots juggling fire extinguishers. Nobody was blithering or blathering about hydroxychloroquine or sticking up ultraviolet lights up anywhere. It was scientific. It was rational. It was reasonable. And who was it? Shannon Pettypiece from NBC asked Dr. Fauci about, you know, should we double mask? And this will come back to haunt Dr. Fauci, because I was kind of cringing. Because he was being a scientist. He was being sciencey, mm-hmm. And he said, well, the CDC doesn't have any guidance on double masking, but a lot of people are doing it. I'm doing it because it seems to be a rational response given the virulence of these variants. He said, but when the science comes in, you know, we'll say something, but we don't have any data right now. And I'm paraphrasing, I think, pretty closely, and I could already hear these assholes, these covidiots, these, see, Fauci still doesn't know anything. He's still lying to us. Everybody has to wear double masks, and he does sometimes, but he just said there's no science to support doing it. God damn it, it's all a hoax.
And I understand why scientists talk that way, Scott. But fuck. You can't just throw little treats out to them like that. Because somewhere in this country, there's another pharmacist who probably thinks that the sky is a shield that the government put up to keep us from seeing God.
Well, the thing that, you know, the distribution, I was watching something the other day, and they're talking about the inequities of distribution of the vaccines. And it just came to me this morning. I looked like two sips of coffee. So I'm nowhere near Mike Lindell territory in terms of creativity. I'm sitting here, honest to God, I have two sips of coffee, and I'm sitting here, and I've got the MSNBC on and bringing me up to date, you know, with my headlines in the world and everything. And they're talking about the inequity in terms of getting the vaccine out to the people who really fucking need it. And I said, good humor trucks. When I was a kid, the man would come around the neighborhood in the good humor truck, ringing his bell, and I'd pay my nickel and get my fudgesicle, and I never got a half melted fudgesicle. And granted, they use the temperature for ice cream. You don't want it to be hard as a carp. You want it to be hard enough to where after a moment or two you can bite into it and not break something off. And they used dry ice in there. I mean, part of it was mechanical refrigeration, like coils up the side of the truck and the top and the, you know, back in the compartment where the freezer part was. But they also use dry ice. And isn't that what they transport the vaccine in, the ones that need to be at a certain temperature?
I earnestly don't know, because that thing has to be kept at temperatures dry ice can't reach. I mean, it's more like probably liquid nitrogen, I would think.
No, it seems to me I saw them packing the boxes or whatever into these heavily insulated containers, and they filled that, put the stuff in it, and then the dry ice, and then put that in another larger container and surrounded that with dry ice. And I don't know what the hell they did with it after that. But, yeah, I don't know. We just have to keep our wits about us and start dwelling in a reality-based reality and listen to actual doctors and medical people and scientists and just stop fucking around. Because this is literally a situation where if you fuck around too much and thumb your nose at reality will kill you. You know? And this is serious shit. What are they doing in West Virginia? I saw something on the news the other day where they said that West Virginia is like leading the country or close to it in getting people vaccinated. What the hell are they doing?
Running a con.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Yeah, see, I mean, I realize I'm not being empirical, purely scientifically empirical about this, but... The bottom line is, when Boss Man Wayne, who is a 76-year-old multiple heart attack survivor who has died on the table a couple of times.
God damn.
When Boss Man Wayne still can't get a vaccine at 76, I don't want to hear anybody, you know, when we've already dropped the number to 65, I don't want anybody hear anybody talking about how star-spangled awesome West Virginia's COVID vaccine response is.
How is this happening? I mean, what did they say to somebody in his situation?
He just ain't got any. See, what happened is they want the CDC and people want states to use the vaccine as it comes in and not squirrel any back. So, yeah, we got some vaccine, and I think we pumped out 80% of it. But 80% of a little bit isn't a lot, no matter how many ways you try to spin it.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay?
But how did How is he not on a priority waiting list?
Oh, I mean, we had a number to call if you wanted to register, and I registered. I'm not eligible, but I'm pissed at the fact that we're using these arbitrary. On the one hand, I want because we were just talking about what it does to octogenarians and nonagenarians and septuagenarians, but. And so I want those groups vaccinated, but we also, we got in there and we did a pretty good job at vaccinating people who work in assisted living facilities, nursing homes, rehabilitation facilities, healthcare workers generally. An individual I know, a very young man, much younger than me, was doing construction work at a nursing home. Got a shot. Makes sense.
Yeah, it does. Well, yeah.
But it seems like people who are immunocompromised, people with high comorbidities, ought to be a little further up the ladder. And yeah, I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about my beloved spouse.
Oh yeah, sure.
Because, I've been the one getting out and doing and the running and the going and the whatnot. And my beloved has been a prisoner in her own home for going on a fucking year. And, yeah,
it's been a fucking year.
Robert in Australia has written in and said, his notes always in Robert in Oz, still in isolation. And vaccines in Australia, what? Good luck. Apparently, according to Robert, the government talks a lot about him, but nobody's really seen him. And I know everybody wants it, and hopefully one of the things that having a competent administration will do for us is the Defense Production Act will result in a lot more vaccine out there. 100 million vaccines and 100 million arms in 100 days is ambitious as hell. And they're doing things to make, for instance, there was some sort of regulation that just went through on an emergency basis, allowing retired doctors, retired nurses to administer the vaccine, just so that we've got more people handling more needles, because the logistics of getting them, the logistics of creating the vaccine is a vastly different problem from the logistics of getting the vaccines into the arms. But, make West Virginia great big old Governor Jim Justice is suddenly a fetish object on MSNBC, and it just makes me want to, honest to God, I could chew pig iron and spit hot rivets.
That's a skill.
I mean, it's yeah, okay, maybe we're probably doing better than Alabama and Mississippi, but that's really not the benchmark you want in the fucking pandemic, Scott.
No, not at all.
Better than Mississippi is not the same as winning.
We have had a little place down, there are a couple of them, but the one nearest to me is down by Petco Park, the baseball place. And it's like a parking lot, a huge parking lot. And they've got it all set up, and it's wonderful, and people will go. But who can stand in line for 4 hours?
Boy, wouldn't that just be the ultimate piss you right off irony? You were doing okay, and again, oh God, please, don't tell Alex Jones. Don't let this get through to Marjorie Taylor Greene Cucumber or any of those other freaks. But wouldn't it just be the ultimate piss off irony? That you survived the fucking pandemic and then you got it because you went out to get your shot at the baseball stadium and a bunch of anti-masker COVIDiot mask holes were screaming around and you managed to pick up the fucking Rona while you were waiting to get your vaccine. Jesus Christ, well, no. I mean, no.
No. No. Well, I'll tell you one thing. Let me go back to what I was getting ready to say. What I am doing is now. We've established that I don't go out much. And because I don't go out much and because I can have them bring groceries to me,
you know, and I tip well and all that stuff. Or if I want to order a pizza, I can do that. But I'll go out at this point maybe twice a month, three times if I'm feeling adventurous, okay? I don't need, since I don't interact with anybody, okay, and when I do go out, I take precautions, I use the hand stuff, I wear the double mask, blah, blah, blah. I'm letting people jump ahead of me in line in terms, those who are active and need to be out and about and doing, those who are lucky enough to be working or whatever, I want them to jump ahead of me and get their vaccine. Because they really, the medical need is probably not different. We all need protection from this virus, but they need it in a different way and on a different timeline than I do.
And with a different different degree and sort of urgency.
Yes, well, that's what I mean. So that now that we've got real grown-ups running the goddamn joint on a national level, I can afford to bide my time and let others jump ahead of me. It's not because I'm such a nifty, needy, peachy human being with a heart of gold, you know. It's just that that's the reality of it. I would much rather see somebody who is in a vital function in life get their protection, and I can wait. I'm not going anywhere. Literally, I'm not fucking going anywhere, you know? And this is what gets me. You take someone like Agnes, who has, you know, these comorbidities? Oh, that's a happy little word, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah. That means you got a lot of things that make things worse.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, because age is a comorbidity. Diabetes is a comorbidity.
Yeah.
Things that make you immunocompromised is a comorbidity.
Mm-hmm.
High blood pressure is a comorbidity. Heart disease, lung disease. Anything that moves the needle away from typically healthy is a comorbidity.
Yeah, it's anything that could kill you on its own even before COVID showed up. You know?
Yeah.
There's no other than the fact that we had 4 years of people peddling just vast amounts of bullshit, okay? And then when the real crisis did hit, remember the commercial, the political commercial, and it was like that 3 a.m. phone call? Well, COVID was the fucking 3 a.m. phone call. And who did we have at the other end of the line? Well, let's see, caller number 9, that's Trump. This crazy fucker.
Yeah, we got the 3 a.m. phone call, and the call was answered by the Zodiac Killer.
There you bingo. Give yourself another cowbell.
Well, thank you. I think I will.
I just looked at the time. I didn't realize it was this late. I was late calling. But, Robin, I you know I love you. And Agnes and the family and your state and your country and the Horn family, of course. And I will endeavor to phone in more often because, Jesus Christ, it's not like I'm doing anything.
Well, I mean, I miss you and we worry about you. And oddly enough, there are more things in heaven and earth, Horatio, and than are dreamt of in your philosophies. And earlier this evening, he's like, haven't heard from Scott. Then bang, there you are. I didn't say anything out loud.
No, I know. I pick up on stuff. Like, that's how I knew that.
We've got a thing that's called the telephone. We've got a line in the sky. No singing!
What was I trying to... There was something I was trying to sing the other day, and I was thinking, well, Bob would sound good singing that.
No, she wouldn't. But, you know... I guess we will wrap it up, Scott. Anyway, it's been delightful, and I'm glad you're okay. And please stay that way.
Well, I'm going by the palm reader. When I was a kid, up above the magic shop, I gave that lady 50 cents, and she told me I'd go going to live to be 89, and I ain't there yet. So,
But you're going to do everything in your power to prove her wrong by living past 89.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The bare minimum is 89, and after that, everything is gravy. Well, at my age, I shouldn't have so much gravy because it's bad for your heart. Oh, fuck that. I'm 89. I'm going to die anyway.
It's like the story my dad used to tell about the old man who passed away here up in his 90s. And all the good Baptist church ladies said, see? Remember, he was in his 90s. See? We told him that smoking would kill him.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you remember what I said back before Election Day in November? And I was half kidding, but only half. I said, if Trump gets reelected, I'm going to throw away my mask. I'm going to go out and buy a couple of cartons of cigarettes, if they even make Territon 100s anymore. And I'm going to start smoking again. I'm going to start licking doorknobs down the bus station. Thankfully, it didn't come to that. So, knock on wood, I praise Jesus and whoever else is listening that that didn't happen. Can you imagine 4 more years of that? Ugh. Yeah. As my grandmother on my dad's side in the old country, their term was Bush-your-moy, which I think is, oh, my God, or Lord have mercy, or God help us, or something, in Bulgarian. Bush-your-moy, indeed.
And you made, right. For some reason, really, you made me think, I just counted it up when you mentioned Territons. I am, I think, at 141 days without a cigarette, and that blows my mind.
Yes,
it goes back to the mid September. Son of a gun.
Well, you know that we're pulling for you in that regard. And as a former smoker, dedicated 2 to 3 pack a day man at some points, depending on what I was doing. I know what a struggle it is to put those things down and not touch them, you know.
And every now and then I look at Agnes and I say, "Can I have a cigarette?" And she goes, "Yeah, when hell freezes over."
Well, she's not smoking, is she? No. Let's see the most important thing, and we'll leave it on this positive, upbeat note.
Yes.
If you don't smoke, don't start. If you do smoke, quit.
I wholeheartedly endorse that, and I'm slowly weaning myself away from the obnoxious, annoying, gives you the hiccups nicotine pouches, but I ain't there yet.
Well, I still use the gum. Can't keep it lit, but I use it.
Keep it lit. Get it lit.
Well, that too.
Wrecked him. Damn near killed him. Yeah. Scott, I'm out of here, man.
Robin, a multitude of pleasures talking to you, and I promise to be more prompt in my reappearance at some point in the not-too-distant
future. Well, Friday on the front porch is only 2 days away.
Oh, that's right. It is Wednesday. All right. Take care.
All right. See ya.
Be well.
And just a couple of things on the way out the door. Some breaking news earlier, and it's not exactly happy news, but maybe it's reassuring news. Lo and behold, mirabile dictu, the Columbus cop who blew away a black man by the name of Andre Hill 2 months ago, has actually, no kidding, really been charged with murder, felonious assault, and 2 counts of dereliction of duty. He's already been fired. I don't know if the Columbus Cop Union will provide him a free lawyer or not. I would not be surprised if they do. And just because a cop gets charged with murder doesn't mean the cop gets convicted of it, because we know that the odds of that happening are right around walking into the local Rippy Mart, plunking down your $2 and getting the winning Powerball ticket. And by the way, I mentioned Robert in Australia. He said, we have them too. Hydroxychloroquine pushers. Local federal politician, name not to be mentioned, has spent most of 2020 pushing the benefits of hydroxychloroquine and complaining about the side effects of wearing masks. Ah, mother. All this vital information he got off of internet conspiracy sites because, of course, he was finally, officially, told to shut the F up yesterday by the Liberal Party, of which he's a member. And remember, because everything's opposite, up over down under, the Liberal Party in Australia is actually their Conservative Party. As we're about to start rolling out the vaccine and the government want people to take it, so they told him to piss off and shut up. Good. It's nice that somebody can do that. Well, that's a hell of that. I'm fond of Wild and Wonderful. I'm wearing my Wild and Wonderful hoodie right now, as a matter of fact. That's our unofficial motto here in West Virginia. But Earthers come up with a new one. Welcome to West Virginia, better than Mississippi since 1963. I wonder if that's a reference to... maybe. I'll take that as a compliment, Arthur. Thank you. Let's see. I'll save that for tomorrow because it's Thorn in the Side Thursday. Jimmy, by the way, said, "No, Robin, I disagree. You have to make it as simple as possible for the maggots so when they try to export it." He didn't recommend double masking. No, he didn't recommend double masking. You're talking about Anthony Fauci. So who knows what tomorrow will bring? I know in my case it will bring, and yours as well, hopefully, joining in the conversation on this program. Thank you very kindly, each and every one of you, for all of your support of this program. Thank you to our subscribers, Patreon and PayPal. And you know, it dawned on me last night, as I was engaging in conversation, I recognized that I screwed up last week. Because usually, months are either 30 or 31 days long, except for February. But I usually do the Patreon thank you on the 30th of the month. And, well, the 30th was on a Saturday. And on Friday on the front porch, I breezed right past the 29th. I breezed right past thank you to the Patreon subscribers by name, each and every one. And I apologize for that. I don't like making mistakes like that. I try not to. And so please accept my humble apologies. Because our subscribers, the subscribers who are partial sponsors of this program and help keep the program on the air, well, y'all and the a la carte subscribers are the only reason we are. And so that's all I've got is, I'm sorry. I will make sure that, by God, this time, February, we'll get it right. And who knows? Maybe I'll start tomorrow with last month's thank yous. But thank you. Thank you so very much. And thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Pinch Hit Midweek Chat Room Utility Moderator and all-around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve, in the chat room. Steve! Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Brand new Fresh Malloy on the way at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. 6 p.m. Pacific. A scant, ciphering, damn. A scant 36 minutes away. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Please keep healing. Please be patient. Please take your meds right. And just do a little bit at a time, and you'll be back in good shape. Don't play with the staples. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. please stay safe. Do whatever you have to do so. You have to be out and about. Please take every possible precaution. The CDC may not be recommending double masking, but I by God am. And I think putting the disposable on the outside is probably the smart money. Wash your hands, don't touch your face, wear your gloves if you've got them, use hand sanitizer for all you're worth. If you can get your hands on a box of nitrile gloves, please do so. Keep your social distance, 15 feet between people. Wearing masks is a good start. And not being anywhere near anyone who isn't is a great idea. And of course, if somebody comes toward you saying,
you know, that last president of ours is a Jezebel,
avoid that person like the plague. Because he is. Later, y'all.